United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no one.
Let's go! dark.
In a whole wide world,
I can't stop
no more.
In a polluted world,
the world is cold. That is cold, it's so cold.
I can't stop where
the earth is. Just
all the shit right there.
In a wrong world, you're the only
all the shit right there.
In my world, I knew I could lean on you.
I can't stop
my God.
In a polluted world,
well, so wrong.
That's
so cold.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM, the 17th of July, 2014. Hey, got Mark Manji in the studio with me. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Tracy. How are you doing this
morning? I'm doing good. I'm on my second meeting.
I really like that song.
You like that song?
Yeah. How come I don't know that song?
I don't know, because
that's Stevie Wonder. I know Stevie Wonder.
You know Stevie Wonder?
I know Stevie Wonder when I hear Stevie Wonder.
That's Stevie Wonder from 1974.
I was 74. You know why I wouldn't know it? I was newly married in 74. And
when you were married, you weren't listening to music.
I wasn't listening to
music.
You were
making your own. Okay. All righty. Okay. Well, welcome to Tracy and Friends this morning. How you doing, Mark? What's going on?
You know what? Yesterday was just a really gorgeous day here in Northeast Ohio, low 70s, blue sky. And, you know, today it's a little bit overcast, just a little bit, but I see some peaks of sunshine coming through, and that makes me feel good. It's summertime. And, dude, which way to the beach? Go swimming in the Mahoning.
No, it's a little bit too chilly for swimming.
Oh, okay.
This is a little bit too...
You never went to Camp Fitch when you were small.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
They made you go in cold or not.
I was there on a hot week. Yeah, I went to Camp Fitch. I went for 2 weeks, actually, when I was a kid.
You know, they'd haul our cookies down to Lake Erie. You know, they didn't have... When I was there, they didn't have the lake and the pools. You went to Lake Erie to swim. They had a man-made lake called Lake Mvima that they built later on.
I don't remember.
But my first year or two there, you just went down to Lake Erie, and there was huge steps on the way down.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and...
I was actually there when you were getting married.
Yeah.
I was probably doing the Camp Fitch thing.
Yeah, I was there in 57, 58, 59.
I was in there about 74, 75.
Yeah.
Maybe 76.
My parents sent me when I was
10.
Well, you would have been cute at Camp Fitch. Did they make you make those lantern things, you know, those little, you'd get the things and you'd make little box squares and they'd all be connected?
I don't know. We made, it was such a crafty place.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of crafts there. I learned a lot. I shot my first bow and arrow. I rode my first horse there.
Yeah, I did too. that was really neat. You had the archery range, and I remember the horse.
Yes.
I had a
hard time with the horse. Horse didn't want to let me out of the barn.
The horse was interesting. Then we had the rifle range. I shot my first gun there.
I bet you they don't do that anymore.
I bet you they don't either. It's politically incorrect.
But we have a check.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did all that there. That was kind of cool. That was kind of cool, for real.
Well, you've had a busy week this week, you know, going around and doing
all
the important stuff.
I don't know how important it is what I do. I just know I got a lot of stuff.
We were down in Columbiana County together.
Yes, had a good time.
You had a good time down there.
Had a good time, sang a couple songs.
And
my throat is finally cleared up.
He was good.
I know.
I was impressed.
I keep on telling you guys he was good. We were down with the auditor of state, Dave Yost, and it was and he actually is a pianist
and a singer.
And a singer, yeah.
Wow. I'm trying to book him for, you know, an event next month. Yeah.
He's a little busy. He's a little
busy. You think?
Yeah, he's a little busy. He's a little busy right now.
And a composer?
Yes. Yes,
wow.
He does. He does some great things. And you know what? He is genuinely a good guy. He is genuinely concerned about the care about Ohio and where we're going. And he's genuinely an active participant in making good systemic change in our community. And I think that is something that we ought to applaud. And I have to say, I'm not saying it because he is a Republican candidate. I'm saying it because he is good. And if you don't hear me mention their names between now and November, that means I don't like them.
And the food was wonderful.
The food was really good. The food was really, really good.
I mean,
all I ate was a steak. I didn't eat anything else. I didn't eat the add-ons. what else is going on? There's something new going on everywhere. Anything in the Vindicator today that I have not seen?
You know, I haven't looked at the Vindicator yet today. They had that murder down in Struthers, and it turned out to be my cousin's husband.
Really?
Yeah, which was not good. They're divorced, but it was kind of a shock. He was basically a nice guy, and I kind of feel bad that happened.
I want to know, why is it there when a murder happens in Struthers, it makes front page news? When it happens in Youngstown, it's like, oh, another one bites the dust. Oh, another one bites. That's just what it does. I'm serious. Like, oh, another murder in Youngstown. Okay. Oh, well, let's turn the page. It's the truth, Mark. It's the truth. I would not joke with you on this. It's serious. What's the headline on Drudge this morning?
I'm doing important stuff here. I'm downloading that Stevie Wonder song that you played, and I can't interrupt to go look at Drudge. You know.
Jeez, oh man.
I gotta do first things first.
First things first.
That's right.
I gotta talk about Jesse Jackson talking about the immigration problem. I want to talk about that.
What did he say?
He's not happy with it. I gotta talk about. I just got this article in. Let me get this man's name. What in the world is going on with my PC? Secretary of State John Houston.
Yes.
And Eric Holder.
Yes.
And voting in Ohio.
What in Ohio?
Voting in Ohio.
What do we do? We vote in Ohio. We actually have elections and everything.
Listen, you know
here.
What?
It's a wonderful place. We go to the ballot and we get to put paper in little.
Let me tell y'all something. I want everybody to understand something. This is how you solve the problem. You go back to one day. At the Tuesday before election is the day that you vote.
Yes.
The second Tuesday after the first Monday.
Yeah.
That's when you vote.
Yeah.
No early voting. No absentee voting, no voting by mail unless you're dead.
Absolutely.
No curbside voting. You vote on that Tuesday. If you can't vote on that Tuesday, then guess what? You don't vote.
And I'll tell you what, that is more than just a philosophical argument, on account of because the way they have it set up right now, if you're going to go vote the first day you're available to vote, how far out in Ohio?
35 days.
35 days. Okay, you go vote on 35 days before the election. 2 weeks before the election, it turns out the guy you voted for was a bum. Something comes out.
It's too late.
And it's too late.
But that's okay. No. We shouldn't have made it easy for everybody else. What we should have done is just make people vote on the day, the Tuesday, all this kind of, we're going to sue you. I know how to solve the problem. The problem is, don't vote. You'll vote on that Tuesday and don't vote any other day. The United States Department of Justice confirmed Tuesday that it has plans to be involved in a federal lawsuit challenging Ohio Republican pass narrowing the window of early voting before election. Let me say this. You don't need to vote the day before, the weekend before, and you don't need to vote and register the same day.
Right.
Hello? But, you know, the hearing is set for August 11th in the United States District Court in Columbus as a potential preliminary injunction that would restore early voting days and hours for the November 4th election for the 2012 presidential election. They want to be able to souls to the polls on a bus. That's what this is all about.
Sure.
And it's not about because they care about your voting. They know that if I get ignorant people to vote, I can get them to vote the way I tell them.
So since when is having – I mean, I don't know how they do it in other places, but when I was small, you went to get an absentee ballot if you were going to be out of town, and that's how it worked.
Election
day, you showed up.
Most states do still have one day to vote unless you're dead in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Most states. You have some like Ohio who have – these 35 glory golden week vote and register the same week, come to vote, mail a ballot in the mail, however you want to get to vote. We shouldn't have been so lenient.
So the question I have is, if Ohio went back to one day voting, would the Justice Department be in there suing?
No.
Since when is having 30 days to vote a right?
Oh, because they want to move so they can eliminate the golden week, which overlaps. They want to move it from 35 days to 30.
Yeah.
Come on, Mark.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to register people and vote them the same day?
Yeah. You can't. It's nuts. And by the way, these are very good. Voting is nice, but these are really good.
Mark, you're not supposed to tell on me. Jeez, oh, man.
Well, maybe, you know, Matt might be.
No, he's back.
Is he back?
No, he's back. No, see, that's why, you see there's two in there, right?
Yeah.
And there's no evidence of me eating any of them.
No, there isn't.
See there?
You mean one of those is for you? Ah, jeez. No. Are you going to have this one?
No.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Mm-mm.
Then why'd you get two?
Because there are other people in the studio. They're ghost people.
She brought in some scones. These are really, sometimes they're kind of heavy. These are really good.
Those are good, aren't they?
Yeah, wow.
I was out at Witten Hours.
Oh, all right.
And listen, my meeting this morning was at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. I'm glad it was you and not me.
And I don't mind being out early in the morning, but, you know, I'm not running up to be. When you have a meeting at 7 o'clock, it's not like you try to get there 20 minutes early.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I timed myself to get there precisely on time, no early. I'm going down 680, and 680 is, I'm heading south, and I'm trying to get off to go to Poland. Well, I have not been to Poland, Ohio in a while from 680. I've been to Poland, but not from 680. I've come down 224 Boardman-Poland Road.
Kind of a mess, isn't it?
It's been a mess, and it's okay. But no one told me that the exit that I normally get off to go to Canfield,
yes,
is the same exit that I go off to get to Poland now.
Yes.
Because the sign doesn't say that.
They closed the one.
Going to Poland.
Going to Poland, yeah.
Well, the sign doesn't say that. The sign says Canfield. Canfield is not Poland. So I passed the Canfield exit because I'm going to the Poland exit.
Please tell me you didn't jump. You didn't do a jump over the median to turn around and go the other way.
I was afraid to get a ticket.
That's good.
The only reason why is, as you know, we talked about police yesterday and driving while black and all that kind of stuff. And I have to say, I have been very, very blessed, very, very fortunate, and very, very favored. I have been pulled over many a times, and I have never been harassed because usually when I get pulled over, I just look at him and said, where were you? I didn't see you. Why are you here? And please just have mercy on me. That's usually how this goes.
But you did make it to Poland.
Yeah, but I made it to pull 8 minutes late, and I hate I hate going into a meeting late.
So you had to go all the way down to Western Reserve Road
and come back around.
And come back around.
And then go back through Poland.
You know, the other way to go is you get off of Western Reserve Road, and you go down to Five Points and turn left, and it takes you to Poland.
I don't know how much scared of that.
Down by the fireplace.
No. You know that's only 35 miles an hour?
Okay.
I was in a hurry. I do say
well, I know it says 35 miles.
No. I'm not trying to give the. I'm not trying to leave the Poland. I'm not trying to contribute to their fund.
Yeah.
No.
They do that there.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they have a reputation.
Yes, they do.
They have a reputation. It's a bi-state reputation because Pennsylvania is just on the other side. They always go after the Pennsylvania plates.
They go, or so
I have been told.
They go after plates. They go.
People say.
Listen, I found out that tickets are a money maker. And Ohio just during the 4th of July weekend, they were on such a roll, they had to increase the budget by a large sum of money.
My office is in Poland now, so I'm very cognizant of the speed limits. Of course, you know, for those of you who don't know, you know, I know there's a lot of you listening that aren't from this area over here, but the problem we've got is that the east-west roads in Mahoning County are under construction, all of them. And it is a major issue. You can get north-south okay. East-west, you have problems. And
I'm not complaining. I just need to put
you, I am.
I'm not complaining. I just need for you to put up a sign that says, exit for Poland here, especially if you're in a hurry. Don't make me go all the way down. That's gas. That's time. And you know you don't want me to go too fast. And then if you get a ticket in the construction zone, that's double the money.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not good. Okay. I'm done.
Tanglewood Apartments, a fully leased 24-unit.
Are we moving?
It's one of those days. I'm telling you guys, this is my second meeting. Good morning, Eric. How are you? He was there.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. Good morning, Diva.
Morning.
How are you this morning, sweetheart?
I can't remember much. I had a nice little medication, medicinal cocktail last night, so I'm feeling pretty good this morning.
So you don't know your name today? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so forgive
me. Your name is Diva. You're not allowed to talk on top of people because you're called Tracy and Friends. I'm glad in your subconscious mind you decided to tune in. But remember the rule. But I do love you.
Okay. I love you too.
And I'm glad to see that they're going to take alternative measures with you with your sickness. That's a blessing.
Thank you.
I want to tell you that. Because she's got some illnesses going on, and they were going to do some really invasive surgery,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like they're going to try to do other methods. And you know, sometimes we, you know, I said this yesterday, and I might as well start off the show with this, and then I'm going to take a break. Sometimes you know what really goes on with people. And so you see them, and they are just over a cliff, not realizing that in their world and in the circumference of their world, they're really going through a Hades battle. And it's not, when you say, hey, how are you? You know, that is one of the most non-truthful questions people ask.
Yeah.
Because when I say, hey, and how are you, most people really don't want to know, and they really don't care.
Yeah,
and people are living through some things, and it is they're in their own world, they're in their own mind, and they're never always honest. And so sometimes we need to have compassion on people even when they say they're fine, because that answer, fine, is a big lie. Fine just means I just want to appease you. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side of the break. Because I got to talk about Murdoch's Time Warner Bid. I love that guy.
Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out. Look out.
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse, once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
And you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Mark, you know, I came back in here the other day, after we were down, and my voice was like a frog.
You know, it brings you back to the bad old days when, you know, when we would go out to restaurants and you'd walk in, that's exactly what it would be like. And there was no option. And you're, you know, and you went to a nicer restaurant and you're, you know, smoking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Was really cool back then, and you'd be sitting next to people on either side of you, or
everybody puffing away,
smoking away, and you couldn't breathe, and you'd leave, and your clothes would just be rank.
I threw out everything I had. Worst hair. I mean,
yeah.
Bath.
And we live like that every day, and then when it's gone, and you step into that kind of a situation again, you know it. That's one of the reasons why I don't go to casinos. I went down to the one that's down the river a little bit from here and walked in there, and I was in there for about 20 minutes and walked out, and I had to go dry clean everything I had on. And
that's too much money.
I don't know what the rules are across the border, but as I understand, the one they're doing here in Youngstown is going to be smoke-free.
Absolutely.
I kind of heard that on the news the other night.
Absolutely. Yeah, how are you going to smoke?
Well, a lot of casinos have exceptions. West Virginia, I believe, you're allowed to smoke in casinos. I think you're also allowed to smoke in casinos in Pennsylvania. I'm
but
not
in
sure.
Ohio.
But not that, that's
not
good
in Ohio.
News.
In Ohio, you will be smoke free. You will not be smoking in there.
That's quite a complex. I was out driving there the other night, and you know, holy smokes. Yeah, I'm kind of excited, looking forward to seeing it. Except, all right, they're going to be racing horses in November.
No, not November. November, December, January. It's all about the horses.
Okay, so when
February.
Are we going to have a horse named Polar Vortex? That's gonna,
you know. I'm serious. I was meeting with the general managers out there, and I said, "Y'all gonna do what?" I said, "Have you been here through a winter? Did you miss this past winter?" So you guys are really concerned about running horses, huh?
You know, where they came from, it couldn't have been much better. Wasn't this the one that was in Toledo that they
Buell.
Okay.
I think so. It was either Beulah, it was either Columbus or Toledo. But either way.
I think it was the Toledo one.
It may have been. But either way,
yeah.
I don't care if you're coming anywhere. Listen. This is the biggest farce.
Tell them when they're going to run. I can't believe
this. This is the biggest farce that you've ever heard of. You really think people are going to sit outside and watch the ponies go down the field in sub-zero temps, and it's all about the horses. They make their money on horses now.
Who in their right mind would get on a horse and run it? I mean, what are they going to put on their moudons and their, you know?
Called Under Armour.
Okay.
Just Under Armour gear. All you got to do is put on Under Armour and go
so
out there and
get on the
horse.
So it's industrial strength moudons.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just this straight. Not a problem. Not a problem.
And you're going to be sitting up there, and the snow's going to be blowing. We're going to be singing Silent Night, watching the horses run and playing the is it slots? What do they have there?
It's called racinos. It's lottery terminals.
Lottery terminals there.
Lottery terminals.
Okay, so I can't play the slots.
No.
They're lottery terminals.
No. We don't have slots in Ohio if they're not in a casino.
Okay.
That's why it's called a racino.
Okay.
And they're called lottery terminals.
Only in America could you come up with that.
Listen,
now, when you think about it, they build roads. They build cars that will go 180 miles an hour. They build roads which you go 120 miles an
right.
hour. But they give you a ticket if you go over 65.
Correct.
What am I missing?
See, listen, you got to understand, you cannot call these places where they have, they're called gambling establishments.
Yes.
Oh, no, they're called Chance Entertainment.
Yeah.
Establishments.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to be called casinos because we only have four casinos because the Constitution of Ohio says you can only have those four.
Okay.
And so they have to be racinos.
Okay.
I just want everybody to know how they're playing games on.
But I'm not going to be able to play blackjack there.
But you cannot have any tables there.
No tables.
No tables
table
there.
Games.
No tables there because it's a racino, not a casino.
Okay.
And the terminals are not slot machines. They're lottery terminals.
They're lottery terminals. Okay.
And those lottery terminals are controlled by the Ohio State Lottery.
Yes.
But now there are some things that go bing, 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 and you understand what they do. But there are some machines in there, and you go, huh? I mean, I went down to Thistledown, and they were playing this game, and everybody was rooting and cheering and screaming and hollering, and I'm like, huh? I mean, I'm not a gambler like that, and I'm used to, you know, the one arm bandit. You take your, that's how you get your exercise. You pull the arm down, it goes back up, or you hit the button.
You got to push the button.
Oh no, some have arms.
Really?
Some have arms.
I don't like pushing the button. I don't like playing with cards either.
You got to play with the cards. You got to play with the cards because they don't want you to know how much money you're spending. See, it's all about, you know, you can cash out, but they want you to see, it's all a game.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, they, you know, if you have a card, you're not paying attention to the cash that you're putting in. If you're putting money in, you pay attention to the cash until the card runs out, and then but they want you to pay with real money.
Okay, here's my question for you.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to have this thing in Austintown, which I think is wonderful. I mean, I'm glad that we've got something here because normally we don't. But. Okay, so we are 50 miles away from Thistledown. We're 30 miles away from Mountaineer. You've got the rivers, whatever it is, over in Pittsburgh. How and they want to build one on the other side of the Pennsylvania line on Route 422.
Right down my house.
And they're still fighting for that.
Right.
How many of these establishments can this population sustain?
How much money do you have?
Well, that's a serious question. You look at the Trump is going to be closing in Atlantic City, the Trump Plaza, and
why is Trump Plaza closing?
Because they don't have enough business. When they built, first there was Las Vegas, and then they did the Atlantic City thing to boost Atlantic City, and that was supposed to, you know, help generate stuff there, but now they've got casinos or racinos everywhere. Oh, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Peter, Paul,
I'm
going
to cry. It brings me back to my ute.
You want to know how many? Listen. America is going down the wrong path. The answer, my friend,
is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Listen, let me explain something to you. See, I have no problem. If people want to gamble, that's their business. They should gamble.
Yeah.
I disagree, and I have the right to disagree because I'm an American. And I love being an American because I'm an American, I can disagree, and it's okay. When you build your economy upon games of chance, it's like going to the craps table and thinking you're always going to bet on black and win.
Sure.
And we are. America is changing. Instead of building anything, making anything, and being innovative and productive. So today, when Microsoft decides they're going to start laying people off.
It was 16,000, 17,000 people.
We think nothing about it. When you look at what's going on right now, you are not manufacturing and or making anything, and we think that our economy is going to grow on games of chance. Now, let me tell you what happens when you have games of chance. Most people, the majority of people, one, if they go, they're not going to spend enough money to give you anything. But there are people that they have habits that form. Some of your best people have a lot of money, and they have bad habits, and it's not hard for them to become addicted to the one-armed bandit and or racino, and let alone letting the puppies run around in a circle. We need to understand that. So what is now happening is we are getting ready to, wherever there is booze, gambling, there's sex, and there's misconduct. And we're getting ready to, and there's crime. And we're getting ready to bet on all black and think that that's going to create a income and a future for America. And it's not. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we have not taught anybody limitations. We are not teaching them how just to say no or when to say when. It's kind of hard for you to go into a place and want to when to say when you don't know when to say when you're just buying stuff and for clothes and livable things. People in Las Vegas go to the casino to go try to make a little money to make it to the end of the month. That is not how you do it.
Yeah, I had a client who, and it's very disturbing. And this woman was in her early 70s, and she had a home, and she went and got a reverse mortgage on her home, and lost everything at the casino.
That's what I'm.
What do you do?
I know professional people, and every time the wind blows, they fly to a casino that has a bandit.
Yeah.
And the older they get, the worse they are.
And I wanted, you know, this conversation and the song that you played reminded me of one of my favorite movies of all time. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's called A Mighty Wind. And
no, that was Mighty Quinn.
No, this is A Mighty Wind. A Mighty Wind is blowing. It blows for you and me. And it is a parody on a folk singer reunion. Along with Best in Show. I don't know if you ever saw a movie called Best in Show, which was a parody on dog shows. And A Mighty Wind is a parody on the... And you get a big kick. You'll laugh all the way through it. It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. But
go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, Tracy, that it was a time where Las Vegas was Sin City. But at this point, the whole country is Sin City.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm saying. That's just exactly what I'm saying. We get ready to base our whole future on stuff that's going to take us over a cliff. And nobody's paying attention.
I mean, you can't smoke in casinos, but they're all for legalizing marijuana. I don't understand how that works.
Well, because marijuana, I don't know. Marijuana does, marijuana has different effects. It doesn't make you, it makes you spend more money. See, cigarettes don't make you spend more money. It doesn't increase the economy.
But yet they allow you to be on the type of medicinal narcotics that have the same effect as marijuana, but won't legalize marijuana, which is cheaper.
Since you're all bringing this up like this, let me change through to a gear really quick. I am, you know, everybody knows I'm trying to lose weight and do some stuff, so I'm doing some research, and There are FDA approved medicines out there that can help you with your losing weight and your at appetite suppressant, especially if you're at high risk of getting diabetes or whatever. Would you believe that your insurance companies will not cover these drugs? They would rather for you to become a diabetic, become insulin dependent, and pay for that for the rest of your life than for you to try to cut it off at the pass. Mark, have the other one.
No.
Because I don't need it. I'm not touching it.
No.
It'll stay there and spoil. I got a banana.
I know you have a banana.
Mail it to me.
And I don't understand how, and that goes back to my comment. Ooh, sorry about that. That goes back to my comment about how ignorant they expect for us to be. That's really bad. You know what I'm, you follow where I'm coming from? Why would you not pay for and the assistance of making sure that you stay healthy than to pay for something that's going to kill you? Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
And now, another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. To avoid spending the day on the lake, a man told his family it was infested with sharks, so he could go to Hot Deals of Summer at Golfsmith, where you'll find the lowest prices of any golf store, guaranteed. And it's on dry land. During Hot Deals of Summer, get a set of Nike VRS Covert 2.0 irons and get a Nike VRS Covert 2.0 driver, absolutely free. Only at Golfsmith. Anything for golf.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
(1) 800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, you're back and listen to Tracy and Friends on WSOM AM 600.
So bad one time it put my face in a permanent frown. But now I'm feeling so much better I can cakewalk in the town. Well, I woke up this morning feeling so good, you know I laid back down again.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. Hey, Eric, do you know what this is?
Oh, my baby. Oh, my baby, I love the...
I know he was there. Dina, do you know what this is?
No, maybe for my...
This was not before your time.
Who is this then?
This is Denzel Washington.
I don't know who that is. We didn't listen to that in my household growing up.
You don't know who Denzel Washington is?
Yeah, nope. I've heard that song before. I just never knew who sung it.
You don't know who Denzel Washington is, Eva?
Daniel Washington?
Denzel. You know Denzel the actor?
Yeah, I know who that is.
That's who this is.
Oh, he needs to stick to his other job.
You know, geez, oh man, you guys, how could you not know that?
I thought that was a white guy.
No, that's damn him. That's his singing debut.
Yeah, he needs to stick to King Kong, ain't got nothing on me. That's what he needs to stick to.
King Kong? What was it? What's King Kong?
Training Day.
Oh, I didn't like Training Day. I didn't like seeing him in that way.
I did. I did.
He was a rogue cop. I didn't like seeing him that way.
He said, y'all going to all be on Pelican Bay.
Margaret, are you out of jail?
I love him seeing some. I love seeing him play something different.
No, no, he doesn't need to play anything different. He needs to be who
he
is.
And he did a good job too.
Do you know who that was, Mark?
Who? No, who was that?
That was Denzel Washington.
Why is this thing doing this?
I don't
there
know.
We go. Okay.
You don't know who that is? That was Denzel Washington.
Yeah, I didn't know he was playing the piano.
I don't think he was playing the piano.
Oh, okay. It was just a...
But I think he was... He's singing.
Well, I woke up this morning feeling so good. You know I laid back down again. Throw your big leg over me, mama. I might not feel as
music. The devil in distress. The devil
Oh, my baby.
You've never heard this either, had you?
No.
Oh,
when the girl gets
sleeping. This was from the movie The Mighty Quinn.
All right.
This is before he became Denzel.
See, he couldn't make it as a musician, so he had to make it as a
No, this is a movie.
What's the name of the tune?
It's called The Mighty Quinn.
The Mighty Quinn? Okay.
Now, would you call this, what kind of music is this? It's not reggae.
No, it's not reggae. That's
awesome. It's folk.
Sound like ragtime.
Yeah. Ragtime, yeah.
Come on, baby.
Ragtime, yeah.
Come on, beat out. Come on, beat it. You ain't seen nothing like the mighty
Quinn.
You hear my poor ears. That's rumbling
my... What'd you say, Diva?
Oh, my poor ears.
Oh, my poor ears. Jeez, old man. She just always just wants me to fight.
That's a little tune.
It is.
That's my toes.
Y'all killing my vibe?
No. This is the most. I'm trying to go light before I go deep. You know, when you go, it's like going onto a diving board. When you know that you're getting ready to go into deeper waters, you go up higher on the diving board, so you got to climb higher. So right now, we're just setting up a good day of great conversation as we go to climb.
I would know nothing about a diving board, as I would never dive in any water, let alone jump in any water.
Why would you not dive in any water?
What?
Never mind. Good morning, Jeff.
That's so cool. That wasn't ragtime. Ragtime is a very sick. That's so cool. That's New Orleans type of music. New Orleans.
And it's called what?
So cool. It's
S-O-K-O-L
or S-O-K-O-L. Yeah, you know, and the only thing was missing was that they usually play with in European nations. They usually use it. Greeks use it a lot. I can't think of the name of the little instrument. But anyway, that's what it is. That wasn't ragtime. Ragtime is a very syncopated, scattered type of playing. And that's what it is. That's what it is. But anyway, that doesn't matter. The Mighty Quinn, you know what that was about, right?
No.
You do?
No.
Everybody, cocaine.
Jeff, you gotta enlighten us.
I'm just talking about the song. I don't know what the movie was about. I can't remember back that far.
Well, I mean, when the song came out in the '60s, that was about cocaine.
What?
Nothing
really?
Like the Mighty Quinn. Yes, it was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep. That's look it up. You know. I ain't gonna say I'm 100% on that one, but I bet you I'm 95% sure on it.
Oh, Jeff, is it really?
I thought that was Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Lucy in
the
Sky.
That's LSD. LSD.
I never did any of that stuff. I don't, you know.
Okay, well, even coming.
Are you telling me? What? Let me ask this. Y'all didn't do nothing but drink and smoke and sing songs about drugs. Jeff, you can't know as much about that era and not be about it, not be there. Don't quit trying to fake the funk. Puff the Magic Dragon. Did y'all sing anything about all that music was about?
I'm in love with Mary Jane.
Purple Haze, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Purple Haze, yeah.
Y'all didn't do nothing but think about smoking, getting high. You get high, the trippers have a, whoo, Parliament Funkadelic is all they did. And you know they had to be high when the brother came out with a diaper on.
Well,
come on, y'all.
I saw, I believe it was Glenn Haskins. I can't remember which one of the Funkadelics it was, but I was with my older brother who played in bands around here back in that time, and I saw that guy, the guitar player, whoever it was, go in the bathroom, shoot up a speedball, which was heroin and coke. And then 5-10 minutes later came out on stage and played till the rest of the Funkadelics got there because their bus or car had broke down, and they were a little late to the gig, and he played for 45 minutes by himself.
Well, yeah, Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, it was totally entertaining. You hear me?
Jimi Hendrix was supposed to open with Stop, but he was so high on LSD, it took him 3 days to come down, so he had to close.
Please, old man.
That's true. That's a true story.
That's a true story. And, I don't like stuff like that. I don't like how it's, you know.
When you look back at that music during that era, especially during the middle 60s on, because by the time you got Rick James, that was a whole nother era. But they didn't do all white and black, you know, rock and rhythm. They were singing songs about getting high.
Oh yeah,
it's a song now. So I think I was high. I thought I was. Oh, that was now. I don't remember what song it was, but
you trying to be light, so I'm not going to tell you who fomented that movement, but that's how they got control of society. They totally inundated the society with that culture, with that thought that it was okay. You know, if it feels good, do it.
If you think about it, and the number is 347-945-5210. I'm going to take a break in about 2 minutes, and then we'll come back and do something a little bit different. But if you really think about what they put in the minds and the heads of people, I mean, if you go back to Studio 54 and the cocaine craze and the disco music and all that, there was a lot of drugs going around from the middle 60s through that 80s period. That's some serious stuff.
The problem is, these are the people that are in charge now.
Yeah, and they want to legalize stuff. They want to legalize stuff, and they want to. And things ain't right. That ain't good. You know that ain't good. That's why our kids.
Johnny Winter just died on tour.
Who?
Clip Johnny Winter from what's the name of the group? Edgar Winter and White Trash.
Who?
They look like albinos. Johnny Winter.
Okay, I don't know who Johnny Winter is, but if he looked like an albino, I know why they call him Winter.
Song, Frankenstein.
No.
You gotta remember that.
I didn't know they had a name though.
That's Edgar Winter, White Trash.
So he died on tour. How did he die?
Oh, I don't know. But I just saw the thing on the internet this morning. So.
Oh. I'm gonna take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side.
Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Any fled violence and death threats from gangs in Central America, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala. Some of those tens of thousands of children who crossed into the U.S. illegally are sick. ABC's Jim Avila says a government memo reveals concerns about the screening process at one Border Patrol site in Arizona.
Some children flown from that facility to a Navy base in Ventura County, California, were sick, fevers and coughing. Others had chicken pox and Coxsackie virus. Three of the children so sick, hospitalized in the ICU, two of them suffering from pneumonia.
Some had flu-like symptoms. Starting now, a Senate panel hearing on General Motors' delayed recall of millions of cars with faulty ignition switches. ABC's Stephen Portnoy on one man who says his daughter died in a crash linked to the defect.
She gasped as his daughter, Laura, knew she was driving a recalled car.
I sent her an email personally to tell her about it.
Weeks after her Saturn Ion was put on the recall list, Laura Gass died. Her airbag failed to deploy. Her father says he tried to get the car fixed.
But I couldn't. They don't have the parts.
Gass says GM and the government need to do more to warn drivers.
They could stop any moment and hit you.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News at the Capitol.
A brief ceasefire in the Middle East is over between Israel and Hamas in Gaza.
Moments after a UN-sponsored truce ended between Israel and the Palestinian militant groups in Gaza, rockets were once again being fired into Israel. The five-hour humanitarian pause in the fighting saw small violations, but overall, quiet return to Gaza, people going about their normal routines.
ABC's Alex Marquardt in Gaza City. One in seven jobs at Microsoft expected to go over the next year, a big layoff announcement today. This is ABC News.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse, much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected. Stop collection and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-299-1855. That's 800-299-1855. 800-299-1855.
Three people, including one hostage, are dead after a bank robbery and police chase in Central California. Robbers fleeing a Stockton bank took three women hostage and fired repeatedly at police during a high-speed chase. Nearby buildings riddled with bullets.
Police say the hostage who was killed, that mother, Misty Holtzing, was used as a human shield during that final shootout. And eyewitnesses say the scene looked like a war. Continuous gunfire for five straight minutes. The other two hostages have been hospitalized. No word on their condition, but they must be very shaken.
ABC's David Wright. U.S. home construction down in June, falling to the slowest pace in 9 months. It's a setback to hopes that housing is regaining momentum and will boost economic growth this year. The Commerce Department says construction fell 9.3% last month, and applications for new building permits were also down in June. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Here are some things you don't have to do to get the right car insurance at the right price from Safe Auto. You don't have to bundle. You don't have to keep switching. Safe Auto keeps it simple so you can get on with your life. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Now, during the Ford Summer Spectacular Sales Event, get a great deal on Focus. Built with fuel efficiency, Focus is ready for your summer road trip. For details, visit drive1ohio.com.
Does your furnace need repair, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to handyman.homeadvisor.com. Home Advisor is a free online resource with instant access to top-rated remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to handyman.homeadvisor.com. Handyman.homeadvisor.com. That's handyman.homeadvisor.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Reverend Jesse Jackson. Reverend Jackson accusing the president of putting illegal immigrant children before our own American children. Reverend Jackson saying the billions of dollars President Obama wants for the immigrants would be better spent combating violence in U.S. cities like Chicago. And he's not the only one.
Now billions of dollars want to be borrowed from the White House to help feed and house them. What about the goddamn kids here in our neighborhood, in our country?
And Reverend Jesse Jackson joins us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Let me say quickly, I think getting support to those children in humanitarian crisis is the morally right thing to do. The women and the resources are very important. I think even Glenn Beck sending food and water and clothing is the right thing. But there's also a crisis in Chicago. It's not either us, both hands. We cannot turn our backs on those children there. Not here in Inglewood, where 1,000 have been shot. This year, 200 killed, several thousand the last few years. To me, we need a comprehensive plan here at home as well.
All right, two questions on that. One is the obvious problem is that whatever amount of money, it's finite that we have to fix any of these problems. I mean, we always have to make very ugly decisions. You know, what do we do with the limited amount of resources we don't have or we didn't have to borrow? That's the first question I have is how would you divvy that up? The second question is, has President Obama been to these areas in Chicago where these problems are happening so that he's got his attention on it?
Well, it's the area where he was the organizer in, but let me say we have a crisis here of guns being trafficked in and drugs being trafficked in, and the police are overwhelmed. We need the FBI to stop the federal violation of the drugs in, guns in, and then, of course, his job's out. Here we have a crisis, Greta, with even more children, where 50 schools have been closed, 50 drugstores closed, 72 grocery stores have been closed without a trauma unit. Several thousand have been killed in the last few years. So we have a crisis at home, and maybe it mirrors much of what's happening in rather abandoned urban America. I don't think it's time to slam anybody. We could not turn our back on the children on the border, not the children in Inglewood and Lawndale and Rose and Austin as well.
All right, but okay, it's a crisis on the border. Everyone's talking about it, and, you know, there's no question it's making headlines and every news show and stuff. The crisis in urban America, most directly the crisis in Chicago, exactly what has this administration done to say that it acknowledged the crisis exists and the president has any attention on whether it be Chicago, Detroit, or any other city?
Well, I can tell you this. In Chicago, on the south and west side of Chicago, unemployment is three times the national average. We vacated 80,000 abandoned and vacant homes because the banks ripped us off. The banks had to bail out. The people got left
Reverend,
out.
You and I are on the same pages. I know it's terrible in Chicago. I know it's terrible in Detroit. What I'm trying to figure out is while all the attention by this administration is currently on this crisis in on our border, and I think it is a crisis and one we should be paying attention to, has the other crisis been neglected, the urban crisis been neglected by President Obama and specifically Chicago,
I think he left a lot of it to the mayor, but it's bigger than that. And I think it's time for a White House conference on urban policy. HUD should be here because of the housing. When you close public housing and foreclose private housing, you have 20,000 homeless children in our school system here in Chicago. The issue of health and human services. That many people killed, you have a level of trauma and fear here. So you convene HUD and HHS and labor and let Chicago be a model for reconstruction.
But you say right now we need this. This has been going on for years. Why hasn't the president done something about this? I mean, it makes me crazy how much waste there is in this town of Washington. Well, there's a real need in a lot of these cities like Chicago. But what exactly has this administration done to try to help your problem? It's not just show up yesterday or today. It's been going on.
Well, while there is a crisis, on the other hand, there are more people working now than we're working 7 years ago, 6 years ago. There are more people who have health care now than had it then, but it's not enough. Because this is not a crisis, this is a pattern. Last 10 years, about 4,000 have been killed, 1,000 injured by gunshot. We don't make guns in Chicago. Guns are made in Barrington and downstate Illinois, so guns in, drugs in, and jobs out. 90,000 lost to the NAFTA zone. And because it is so much bigger than the mayor's domain or even what the governor can do, I contend we need some federal intervention. And this is time for emergency investment in jobs and jobs now in this city for these children. We need more coaches and more teachers, not more police necessarily.
Well, you're a lot nicer about it.
Well, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and the number is 347-945-5210. Tonight, I was playing a clip from Fox News with Jesse Jackson being on with Greta, and I'm going to say this before I open up the phone lines. The problem that I have with this and what he's saying in all of this is you can't hold an administration accountable after the fact. This is not – what he's talking about is not new. This has been going on for a very, very long time, and we have – you can't put your hand in both pockets and think that you're going to get a fair shake by anyone. And what's happening is we have people who are trying to get things done and shake things down and shake things up while keeping things calm. And you can't do that. There's no way to make that happen. And because we are doing it that way, we're losing. And I'm just being, if you're going to rattle the cage, then you've got to rattle the cage, you've got to rattle the branches, you've got to rattle the tree trunk, and you've got to let everything fall where it may. You can't rattle a tree and try not to disturb some fruit that's on the tree. Because if you're going to tell the truth about it, the whole problem with us not having what's necessary inside of our urban areas has to do with the lack of, we have not been organized enough and have sold ourselves out too often for crumbs on a table when we should have gone after the whole enchilada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Trace.
And so now that we have young people coming in here from other parts of the world, from southern, you know, this, and now we want to say, well, file. we shouldn't allow that to happen. And I agree with that. We shouldn't allow that to happen, and we need to deal with urban culture. But you can't deal with urban culture now because you've waited too late, and you've paid your allegiance to a party and to a people who are supposed to represent you who have sold you.
Sure. This I think I'm almost, I guess, you look at what's going on, and it's almost, I'm almost dumbfounded by it. And, you know, all my life, I have been a conservative as far back as I can remember. I've participated in a political campaign back when Barry Goldwater ran for office. I was 14 years old. I have, my overriding belief system in politics is based on hypocrisy. I can take a liar. I can take a thief. What I can't take is a hypocrite. And limousine liberals are the epitome of
hypocrisy
in every sense of the word. These are people who can afford to insulate themselves from what they perceive to be the great unwashed, which is a term used recently by a mutual friend of ours, Tracy. And and it's easy to do that so they can feel good about themselves to somehow reduce the guilt for being successful or being wealthy. I don't know. I don't know what the motivation is. And everybody can get on board and say, oh, yeah, I'm for this, I'm for that, I'm for the other thing, until it affects them. And what's happening right now in this country finally plops the problem right in the laps of those who espoused what the policy has been for the last 20 years, if not longer. And they don't like what they see. Because sometimes in life, there's no good answer. Bad stuff is there. You know what happens.
We could have changed, and we could have been changing some of these things. But because nobody wanted to speak up and call a spade a spade. So, you know, right now Hillary is trying to dance around. She's got $250,000 to go speak at a university, and she's trying to backpedal and say, well, I gave it to the Clinton Foundation, and we do good for people. She wants to come out and say, you know, when I came out the White House, I was totally broke, but I was the First Lady of the United States of America with Secret Service, and I had a place to go, and I had good credit, and I had a mortgage, and I had income coming in, but I was still flat broke because I was in debt. You know, you have this, you know, you got Jesse Jackson, and Jesse Jackson was calling President Obama on the carpet. Remember when he said he didn't have any balls, yeah. And then we heard that right before and then he cried. Everybody cried at the inaugural because we couldn't believe there was a black man going into the White House. I didn't cry, but I looked and said, wow, that really happened. You know, I was surprised, too, and went to Washington, D.C., just as happy to see him go in. I was just hoping he was going to do better. But instead of us treating him as an institution, we treated him as an icon. And so we allowed things to get swept underneath the bus. We didn't ask for anything. We didn't go and do anything. And now we find that we still have the same problems 10 years later and still haven't done anything about it.
It goes to my basic premise that nothing changes in this country until it touches the person individually. And whatever, and I think, you know, you're viewing it from an urban issue perspective, and, you know, I rarely would agree with Jesse Jackson at all, but in this one I agree with him 100%. But the other perspective is that it's finally opening up the eyes of the people to what the problem is.
But it's not.
No, it isn't to the degree that liberals and people who espouse open borders are finally going to have to deal with what it is they're proposing to people.
The majority of America still today is not paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
them trying to house and feed. Right now there's another clip that I want to put up, and they want to talk, they're talking about borders and about they're having a medical breakdown at the border. A medical breakdown at the border? You mean to tell me that now we're looking at for medical care?
Of course
you
we
can't
are.
Control the medical people, the medical care that you have for the people that you have on the Affordable Health Care Act, let alone another 300,000 people that you're bringing in here from the South.
Sure. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that this is the first time that I have seen the country under this president look at an issue and say, even through the media, there is, wait a minute, people understand their tax dollars going to go pay for these people. People understand the medical costs. People understand the one town in Massachusetts that has 600 or 700 students plopped in on them over the last 2 years. No school system can absorb that. And they don't speak English. They're Spanish speaking. People understand those kinds of issues. And when we all have our problems, and a lot of people's and we all have problems, although some are much worse than others, all of us have problems in our lives. That's just how life is. And you're seeing the government money going to this, then you got. Then I think it's finally waking America up.
I don't think they're waking up.
More so than they've been.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Waking up is a relative term. This country's been in a stupor for 6 or 7 years.
What are you saying, Pianki? Go ahead.
Well, that was amazing.
Pianki?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
In Missouri, good morning to you, by the way, and your guests.
Good morning.
In Missouri, they just announced that they're going to give scholarships to illegals.
Illegal
what? Illegal students. Children who are of age. And, you know, in Missouri, they got a scholarship that was set aside for minorities. Well, actually began to be set aside for blacks, then all of a sudden became minorities to go to college. And in Missouri, if you, for instance, you score like a 30 or 31 on ACT, you can go to any Missouri college, Missouri State College for free. And they have some other programs, but they announced that they're going to open these up. And see, in order to, in the past, to be eligible, you had to be a U.S. citizen. Well, they're removing that eligibility requirement of having to be a U.S. citizen. And when you do the research, you find out that many scholarships have that same requirement that you have to be a United States citizen. Well, it looks like that's going to go by the wayside.
Wow.
Hey, Tracy, you used to have to have an ID to get on the plane. Not anymore.
No, I have to have an ID. They don't have to have an ID.
Yeah. You have to pay, too, by the way. You have to pay, by the way, too, you know.
I don't know how they getting on planes without IDs. How are you flying?
You also have to pay too, baby.
I mean, seriously, hold on, Jeff. Mark, how are they flying?
All I know is that I have to have a passport to go to Canada and back.
They made it all the way through Mexico without a passport.
I know that.
Pretty good, yeah, Jeff.
You didn't see that. The people are starting to wake up. They're still a little sluggish, but at the same time, Chicago is ahead of the curve on the waking up because Obama lost 9% support from the black community over the past 8 months. And as a result, you're seeing him do the things he's doing. But don't understand, the doctors and the nurses that are down there taking care of these kids are getting sick from these diseases that we've eradicated in the United States. And so they're starting to wake up and very clearly, succinctly see that what they thought was going to be a change for the better is now a nightmare for the worse. And, you're gonna watch this. You're going to watch this metamorphosis because I believe it's about 4 months late. Because I predicted back in January, but the more and more you see these things that this guy has done, that has really messed up, you know, the IRS scandals and the things like that, and the things they're covering up. There's a new one out now about the lady that working in the one office, and her emails have now disappeared. Okay, so you got all of these things coming together. There's a critical mass here somewhere. And Mark, I was hoping that you were right. Well, he said summertime that he'd have to get out of office. I think it's.
You think
it's
I'm right, Jeff?
It's not coming.
I think
that
you're on the right trail.
Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-529. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. Percy L. Godfrey had been seeking $50,000 in compensatory and punitive damages, but the defendants, the police department, patrolman Mark Adamo, and corporal Mark Johnson accused Godfrey of acting out an injury he had not suffered. Godfrey, 34, was arrested in 2002 for allegedly stealing a water heater from a vacant home. During the arrest, Godfrey kicked the police cruiser door and window and tried to kick Adamo and threatened to harm Adamo and his family. Police suggest residents in the McClure area to keep their cars and garages locked due to reports of thefts in the past few days. Someone stole almost $5,000 worth of items from an unlocked garage in the early hours of Monday. Missing items included a TomTom GPS unit and a push mower. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Hi, this is Bill Johnson. I'm your congressman. You know, I've spent so much time visiting and talking with folks across eastern and southeastern Ohio. We've talked about keeping America energy independent and forcing the federal government to live by a responsible budget. We've talked about helping our veterans, reining in the IRS, and even my new project that encourages fatherhood. These discussions help me each time I travel to Washington to represent you in Congress. Although I go there to cast my votes, my family and I live right here in Ohio, and I can do my job even better when I hear from you. That's why I'll be at the Carroll County Fair to hear your thoughts on issues important to you.
I'm glad Bill Johnson is coming to the fair. He's not like the politicians in Washington. He's one of us.
My family enjoys the county fair, and we're looking forward to talking with Bill Johnson.
Join Bill Johnson at the Carroll County Fair. For a full list of fairs that Bill Johnson will attend, or to connect with Bill, visit BillJohnsonLeads.com. Paid for by Johnson for Congress.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Pulitzer-winning journalist, who is also an undocumented immigrant, apprehended and held at the Texas border. ABC's Jim Avila is live in Washington this morning with that story. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Laura. Jose Antonio Vargas, one of this country's biggest advocates for immigration reform, spent a day in custody of the Border Patrol, arrested along the border and detained right along with the kids and mothers from Central America he went to help.
America's most famous undocumented immigrant arrested and detained Tuesday by the Border Patrol in McAllen, Texas, speaking first to ABC News about the ordeal.
It was really surreal and scary and very emotional, thinking that I'm getting arrested for boarding a plane in my own country.
I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told a lot of people. I'm actually an undocumented immigrant.
Jose Antonio Vargas, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author and documentarian who came to the U.S. from the Philippines when he was 12, went to the Texas-Mexico border this week to document the humanitarian crisis underway among Central American unaccompanied children. He has no U.S. driver's license, birth certificate, or passport.
I just didn't realize going down to McAllen that that was the situation, that Border Patrol would be checking my passport right next to TSA.
When he tried to travel back north, a Border Patrol agent stationed at the airport cuffed him and sent him to be processed, holding him for 8 hours, releasing him with an immigration court date.
I got out. Many people are not getting out.
Earlier in the day, Vargas tweeted this picture showing his Filipino passport and a miniature version of the U.S. Constitution he was traveling with. Vargas has lived in the States for more than 20 years and considers himself an American.
You're talking to the most privileged undocumented immigrant in America. Can you imagine all these 11 other million people who just want to live their lives with dignity? I dare any politician to go down there, look at the eyes of these children, and tell them, I'm going to send you home.
Vargas insists this was no stunt. He's never been arrested before, and he travels all over the country. The Border Patrol says its agents are always stationed at airports near the border, and Vargas openly told one he had no legal papers, so they had no choice but to arrest him.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We're talking about immigration today, and I have somewhat of a problem. How has he been traveling all over the place without a passport and an ID? I mean, has he been on private planes? Has he been on? You can't go get on a bus anymore without an ID. So I'm not quite sure how he was traveling all over for the last 20 years as this great journalist. And I believe with all my heart that this was a ploy to get arrested so that he could get on the news, so they could actually highlight, because he is an advocate for immigration. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that people ought to not be involved in coming up to America. But as I've always said, and I will continue to say, there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. And what's going on right now is the wrong way to do it.
And I find it somewhat disturbing. My heritage is Italian. And I know there's Italians that are trying to come to America. I know there's Germans that are trying to come to America. I know there's Ukrainians that are trying to come to America. There's Russians trying to come to America. Indians trying to come to America. What do countries south of the border, why do those rights trump the rights of everybody else? There is a process to come here, and you follow the process to come here. I don't understand what the problem is.
But the problem is, one, we've made it too cumbersome. As with anything else to do with the United States government, we've made it too cumbersome to become anything outside, and we made it too hard. I mean, we made it to where it's selective. We've made it to where it's difficult, and that's just the truth. So we do need to change some things, but we need to change a whole lot of things. Truth be told.
That's not the reason.
I'm no big immigration lawyer. I really don't know that much about the process.
I mean, it costs $15,000-$20,000. I mean, it is overwhelming. When you talk to people who have gone through the naturalization process here in the United States, or even just to get the green card, it is a very, very cumbersome. It's worse than getting a passport. I mean, when you go get a passport, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. There's probably some reasons for some of that.
If I could say some.
Hold on, Pion. What'd you say? Well, go ahead, Mark.
There's probably some reasons for some of that. I know that if you have certain degrees, education degrees, you can come in. I know if you invest money in the country, you can come in, and I'm involved in one of those projects right now. I don't understand, though, why the focus is always on these folks. There's persecuted people all over the world that want to come to America, and to make an exception for the ones that are on south of us just because they don't have to cross an ocean to get here, I have a problem with.
Because the people coming up from Mexico, they're doing one. Well, coming up from the south is a little bit different, and they're almost – it's a little bit different. And when I say that, people coming across the pond is a little bit different, but it is unfair that if I have more money – and I'm going to invest money here or buy property here, or if I am who I am, I make it easier cakewalk. But if you are someone who's suffering, you can't make it. Go ahead, Pianki.
Well, it's two things. Well, first, it's not unfair because if a person come here and is investing, he's going to hire Americans. He can't bring workers with him. But the reason why I come, you say it's favorable. Well, no, they're not allowed. You hire Americans. That's what the investment. Same thing if you go into another country and you're gonna invest, you can get easier, you get more privilege, but you got to hire the local workers. But the big thing that you see that's going on here is the combination of Canada, the United States, and South America economy. It's those trade agreements, it's that NAFTA, and all the things associated with that in order to make this American economy expand into, which is already in Canada, but they want to also expand it into South America and make it compete with, of course, the European Union, but also the Brits that's now forming to become a world economic power.
Go ahead. Eric, did you have your mic on?
Yeah, Tracy, I find it real funny that they keep saying that there's 11 million illegals here. They've been saying that for like 15 years.
It's true. They just keep on adding to the numbers. Even when their mortality rate is greater than the people that live here. Because they keep on coming. Absolutely,
that is not true what you just said.
Why did you say that, Jeff?
Because their mortality rate is not worse than ours. What's going on is the people that are born here are already made citizens immediately. So their children that are their offspring are now United States citizens.
So question, why have we not changed that?
You're not going to change it because you
No,
have
I said, why have we? My question is, why have we not changed it? That was what I asked.
Because it's in the 14th Amendment.
Why have we not changed that?
Because it's
three-quarters of the states.
Hold on, Pianki. What did you say, Jeff?
There's too much of an advantage to politics and to business. They're not going to change it except for this influx because people are getting sick now, and they're not reporting it on the national news like it should be, but it is a huge disadvantage to us at this particular moment. But Obama thinks that these people will be ready by 2016, and they'll be so happy that they'll vote in, you know, the Democrats again, regardless of how bad he's messed things up.
Pianki.
Well, yeah, that is, you know, what Jeff is saying has a lot of legitimacy to it. That's part of the plan. And whatever plan that they have worked out through NAFTA, probably included the exclusion of what we're seeing now coming from the from Mexico, and you probably have similar treaty agreements, similar economic plan that also include the excursion of having quote-unquote illegals, like we see this wave of children coming to this country.
Had a point there. 267, your mic is on.
Well, also, in a lot of the urban cities, there's a reverse migration going on. What they're trying to do is they're trying to gentrify the cities to get a higher income person into the city because the tax bases are so low and they can't support the cities with because they have a population of blacks who are low income. So they're trying to force those blacks to go back down south. And they're trying to bring the people who are the immigrants, bring them back into the cities to have them do the different types of blue-collar work that needs to be done. And
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Like in Michigan.
I mean, that's all over. I mean, we know that you have, they tell me agricultural does not have a minimum wage. We know that they are playing, a game with the population shift. We understand that. The question is, when will we wake up and say file? And when will we make them start changing things so that we're not, so the American electorate is not hurt by the immigration process? And see, trying to create an amnesty program is still not going to make this help. I mean, it's like the Dream Act. The Dream Act is all it's doing is pushing everyone else out. And as Jesse said, I mean, my problem with what Jesse's saying is he's two days too late. When President Obama first went into the White House, this should have been on the to-do list. And it wasn't. When we talk about jobs, he's about jobs and training and doing all this. All that should have been in a program on the to-do list in 6 years ago. Right now, you know, because they've asked for $4 billion for these kids that are coming up here from South America, all of a sudden we got an epiphany that we should have asked for some money too?
Well, you know, the most...
Sure, hold on.
I don't
hold
know
on, what would you say, Mark?
What I don't understand, and maybe it's just my little puny mind, but you look at Mexico and you look at the Central American countries that are involved with what we're dealing with right now, and you look at the poverty in these countries, why aren't, I know this is going to sound like a really stupid question, why aren't they able to succeed like our country has succeeded?
Where?
In Mexico, in Honduras, in El Salvador, in Guatemala.
What is their country, what does their governmental infrastructure look like?
I don't know. But it would appear to me that the long-term solution to the problem is to make these folks successful.
There or here?
Yeah,
there.
That's crazy. I feel the same way about the whole world, like the Middle East as well. I mean, what is wrong? How come we all can't get it together as far as economically, you know?
Because you, remember, we talked about this earlier this week. You can't go anywhere else in the world and make it like you can in America.
And so why can't we fix that another place?
Because their government system doesn't want it, and we keep on putting dictators in there that we can control, but we don't care about the people. But we say it's in the name of humanity. I mean, we're good at those words. We're good at we get up and we talk about we want democracy and we want people to have fair choice and give them the same. These countries don't want that.
That's not true.
The
next question is, what if they don't want it, then why do we have to pay for it?
What do you mean, why do we have to pay for it?
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, these people are in their countries down there. They must have some desire for stability, for economic success, for a degree of safety so they can sleep in their home without getting shot.
But their company, but their country infrastructure doesn't want that. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like America. It's like America now.
Hey,
at one time, if you wanted to put a shingle out, a if you wanted to start a business, if you wanted to do something, it was a whole lot easier for you to do than today.
Sure.
Today, it's a whole nother world. Am I wrong? So we're making it more and more impossible for us to have this American dream than it has been 20 years ago.
But are we importing that attitude here? I mean, that's the concern is.
We're controlling that attitude because we don't want them out there to have the same power as here, nor do we care, but we do it in the name of humanitarianism.
Now, that
do we not?
Said is true.
What'd you say?
That part you said is true, but what you said earlier is not true about those countries don't want to progress. Let me give you some examples. When in Ghana, West Africa, when they became independent, you had an American company by the name of Kaiser Aluminum, who, with the help of the United States government through treaties and pressure, they had the government to build a hydroelectric dam. All right, and the hydroelectric dam was for supplying not only the country with electricity, but also supplying Kaiser Aluminum, who built a plant there in Ghana, with electricity. And it was under the pretension that the aluminum ore would be extracted, it would be processed there in Ghana, and the end products would go wherever. Well, that's not what they done. They extracted the aluminum ore and shipped it back to the United States to be processed rather than being processed in Ghana, West Africa, where the people could be employed, so on, so on, so on. Now, they built a hydroelectric plant that's being used for that process, and it's not supplying electricity or enough electricity for the country itself. And that's just one instance, and you multiply that in other countries with all sorts of shady deals that go on. Iraq was a very prosperous city, one of the most prosperous in the world. You know what Libya had. I wish that American students had what Libyan students had, but look at it now.
But again, look at what's going on in Africa, and they're still trying to slow down and or stop the production of massive independence, even in Ghana.
Oh,
hold
you're
on.
Right. Yes, they are.
I mean, when I talk to people who are from West Ghana, yes, greed. There we go. Greed. We don't want to split the pie with any more people, so I'm going to just hold on to everything and give you nothing. I just want crumbs because I want you to work for me because I never want you to compete with me. Stanley, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't agree with your last comment. Again, I have to go, like, with Pianchi also. And your last comment that you said that we're the only country that could offer all the freedom, I don't agree with this. I don't understand how come every time you – wait. Let me just finish my point. I do not understand how come every time you come to the show you say this when it's not true. You make it sound like America is the only country around the world that has freedom, the only country in the rest of the world, Canada, France, I could go through the whole list, are not civilized. You make it sound the whole rest of the world is all like Africa. It's not true.
Stanley, the rest of the world, in other countries, and let me say, when I say other countries, you don't see a big immigration problem in Europe.
Yes, you
do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Not like you do here.
Yes, you do.
Not like
you
it
do.
Is.
You make it. Yes, you do.
They expel
Tracy, Tracy, I don't care about. It's not like this. It is
so
true.
What,
you just ask the question.
Is, so
do you have an immigration
coming,
problem,
Stanley?
Wait, you ask a question.
Slow down.
Tracy.
Why are they coming to America in groves? What is the immigration problem in Europe? Give me the number.
Same thing in America.
Give me no.
Yes.
They do not have. They do not have
yes,
11 million people.
Yes, they do, Jeff. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do, Tracy.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
Same thing with Canada. You make it sound like America is the only place that everybody's going. Canada has the same immigration problem that we do.
No, don't forget, let me add this, that you have a ton of Africans coming up out of Africa and the violence in some of those countries flooding into France, England, et cetera, that's why they're having such a huge problem with the Muslims, and even the Soviet Union. Don't forget the rebels and things up there, the radical Islamists that are in Soviet Union as well. They all came up into the, from, you know, as refugees, and not all of them, of course, but, you know, many of them did. Now, those countries don't have the freedom we have. They don't have the freedom we have, but they're still a lot more free than where they come from.
So my question is, so you're saying that they have the same problem that we have. So why is our problem any different than theirs?
They're not. They're not, well, Tracy. They're not. They have immigration problem. They have to resolve in their country. But don't act like the rest of the world, everybody's saying, yay, I want to go to America. No, some people are saying, yay, I want to go to Canada, or yay, I want to go to France, or yay, I want to go to Germany. Other people want to go to other countries, not just America.
The influx of 57. Okay, hold on. So it's so. And so, why are they not choosing other places?
Because some people prefer America. Some people prefer Germany. Some people prefer Canada. It's their personal choice. When they come in the world, they say, "Where do I want to go?" Some people are going to say, "Well, I want to have free education."
Family.
So they're going to go to a more social country.
Let me say this. Okay, statistically wise, just by the numbers, we have a higher a bigger problem statistically wise, cost per person coming in, as well as cost and the population of people coming in, than other countries. Am I correct?
But you also have a much larger country too.
Exactly, you have more people. That's the only difference. America has more people.
And not only that, look how the population of America has increased in such a small period of time with immigrants, and look how the unemployment among blacks is still in record numbers. You know, that's the thing that don't get me. Blacks make up such a small percentage of the United States. If you were to take black population and have an asserted effort to get them where they need to be academically and along the other lines of progress, rather than bringing in all these immigrants, then this problem that we have in the inner cities and all that stuff would have disappeared. It would have disappeared. You're only talking about 13% of the population. You're only talking about maybe 20 million people at the most. Heck, you have brought in over 100 million immigrants.
And the main problem now is they don't know who all these people are. That's the reason why they want to monitor all of the cell phones, because they're not sure of the background of all of these immigrants.
And like I said, Tracy, and that's the thing, we live in a global world. We don't live just pro-America, yay, yay, yay. No. Some country will tell you, I don't want to go to America at all. Some people will love America and some don't. Some will say, I am very proud, like, you are pro-American, and some people are pro-Germany, pro-France, pro-Canada, pro-whatever. Every country has their strength and everything. Not all countries want to be like America.
So, even if you're right, Stanley, why are we letting them in without any recourse?
Yeah, they're coming here for free stuff, man.
Yeah, some of them come for free. Some of them think that they have a better opportunity than this. If they go to other countries, they don't have opportunity.
I'm confused. I'll even say you're right. So why are we allowing them to come in here and take up our social service programs away from people that are here and they're not contributing into it? And why have we not created a better path to legal status?
And that's the whole problem.
Can I answer you?
Go ahead, Jeff. And Eric, I gotta mute your mic, because you gotta bleed going behind you.
Europe has already been conquered by the progressives. There's no reason for there to be an issue. The United States has not been totally destroyed yet by the progressives. We're very close, because they've used this administration to get further than they've ever been in history, in my opinion. And Mark is there. He knows history better than I do, so he can comment. But right now we're very close. We're right on a particular edge where our wealth is not as good as everything else. So we're losing wealth all the time, every day. So now watch what's going to happen. You know, you have to wake people up to really what's behind it if you're going to ever attack it. And now that they're seeing that this president is not caring about anything domestically, this is a tragic thing. And they also found out there is no refugee because of violence. there is no violence going on that is so bad that these people have to escape it. That was a lie, and Congress has already, senators and the House have already investigated it and found that this was a lie, nothing but a lie by the administration. So here it is. That's what you're dealing with. You'll watch it happen. And Stanley, don't get it twisted. If the people that are getting over into Europe could get here, they would do it, and many of them do.
Jeff, trust me, I don't agree.
You don't have to agree or not. This is not about an agreement. This is a question.
Wait, no, I don't agree with him.
We understand you don't agree. Don't agree, and you don't have to agree. You do not have to agree. I'm with you on this. You do not have to agree. It's okay not to agree, because I'm not trying to find all people that agree. But what I'm saying is, we have a problem.
Yeah. I agree with you with that.
And when they come here, why are we not sending them somewhere else? Because they don't leave here.
Well, the reason why they don't leave is because America needs that workforce. America needs a workforce in terms of agricultural and like in terms of restaurant work and hospitality. And that's where a lot of them are being hired.
Globalissues.org has a website up, and I will put this in the chat room so people can see it. But you can read on immigration, and it says that worldwide there's an estimate of 191 million immigrants. The past few years has seen an almost doubling of immigration. 115 million immigrants live in developing countries. 20%, approximately 38 million, live here in the United States, making up 13% of its population.
Yeah.
How did they figure that? They're saying 30% of our population right now are
immigrants.
I don't understand the illegal definition of immigrant, though. I mean, my grandfather was an immigrant.
No, we're not talking. The 33% of all immigrants live in Europe. 75% live in just 28 countries. Women constitute approximately half of all immigrants, at about 95 million. And I believe when they're talking about immigrants, they're talking about people who were not born here and who are not naturalized in here.
Okay, so these are people who were in countries that are not born in that country.
That's
and
correct.
Are living right now.
That are not naturalized.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they have about 13% of the American population
is built of immigrants,
which would be in excess. We have 335 million people in this country. So
it says it's at 33. It says that it's at 38 million.
Yeah.
And African Americans make up 12% of the population. And so you have a citizenship here who are being pushed out and pushed around and maneuvered, who are not prepared for the influx.
Yeah.
Within their city. You have a job force that's getting ready to come in, and they will actually replace. And they are, and when I say replace, and they will replace because they are very, very lax in the worldview of what's really happening in their next-door neighbor.
Can I ask another stupid question?
Sure. You might get a dumb answer.
If we have such high unemployment in the United States, why do – I know the Chamber of Commerce is in favor of amnesty. Why do we have to have people come in to do the work? We have people living here.
Because we don't do the work. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number 3.
Hello.
Hey, I'm here, Doc.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were saying about there's certain industries, especially when it comes to medicine and engineering, the numbers of immigrants, they dominate in this country in terms of them that are in those particular fields. Over in California, in terms of Silicon Valley, most of the people that work there are people who were born in China and India, and people who are African Americans, they make up they make up like 2% of the population of workers that's over in Silicon Valley. So African Americans are losing out in terms of a lot of industries, especially
Absolutely.
Engineering, medicine, science, and the immigrants are the ones who are being asked to come to America to fill these IT jobs and these jobs that happen to be in technology and computer science. The immigrants are the ones that are being asked
to
come.
You hear me, Philadelphia?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, man, I didn't even know she unmuted my mic. I feel like the scientists, they are coming from foreign countries. And I think it's just common sense, man. I mean, if you look at where the money, where the dollars are, I mean, it just shows. I mean, if you're not going to do any research and you're just going to go to college just to say you went to college, then you deserve to make, you know, $20,000 a year. But if you really do some research and look at where the salaries are, who's making all the money, then you'll realize, look, man, we need to go into math, sciences, go into something that's going to pay. I mean, black people aren't the only ones, but we suffer more than anybody. And I remember when I was in college, the people that partied the hardest were the psychology majors and education majors. They were always out every night. The people that couldn't party were the science engineers and the computer science. We couldn't party. We had to start on Saturday, Friday nights. We were in the lab. It was that hard. But it shows in salary.
But Alabama, what I was talking about is this, is that blacks, and nobody can say that black folks didn't want to, say in the 60s. And, you know, I could tell stories and stories. I heard a story this morning about blacks being overqualified and still not. This is a woman. But the thing that I'm saying, with blacks making up such a small amount of the population, I'm talking about the youth from 25 on down, the money that this country spend training everybody else's child around the world, they could have spent that money providing the education, the skills, and the technology, those extra things along the way in order to bring that element amongst the African-American population.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying,
Pierre,
because then they really –
Hold on.
When you say something like that, now you're talking about people that are going to start making higher salaries, and they might not understand where them Democrats coming from. So you got to be poor. So they're not going to do that. When Democrats start saying we need more of this and more programs for the poor, you got to stay poor. You see that. That's pimpology.
Well, heck, how is it that they – well, heck, Alabama, these other people in these other lands are poor.
Yeah, but the main difference with them is they fit more into the mold of what the country wants, like in terms of white supremacy. They fit more into the mold that they will honor the white people of the country more than anything else, whereas when you're dealing with African Americans, you're dealing with people who were descended from slaves, and they have a grudge that's against the American government.
But Philadelphia, you got blacks,
and that's the reason why they don't
want to
deal with them as
too.
A population.
You got blacks that's champion for these illegal immigrants also. How stupid can that be?
Well, you have blacks that have more of a conservative view when it comes to the economy of America. But when these immigrants come here, they understand the whole system of white supremacy when they come here.
And there ain't no war going on. There ain't no war going on down there in Central America. They say this World War III going on down there. Where's the video footage? You ain't seeing nothing. That ain't nothing but a doggone lie.
Well, I mean, we busting people up here, man. We busting people up here. I mean, that is treason. I mean, that's treason right there.
Where's Obama's executive order to stop that crap?
Has any of you been to Central America?
Yeah, I played ball down there. Yeah, I played basketball down there.
Of Central America.
Okay, so what you trying to say?
To say that it may not be a physical war. Just like the war on drugs is not a physical war, just like what we face in the hood is not a physical war per se, technical war. But just to say that they're not facing problems in Central America that makes them want to come to America.
But people, it's on those people to take. It's on those people to take care of their own country. They can't just come here.
Under this false belief that they can attain the American dream. But look, just to say, there's nothing going on.
You're gonna hike through southern Mexico to get here.
Okay,
that's crazy.
I have sat through here and I have not interrupted anyone. When I'm done. Please, give me a courtesy. So to say that there is nothing going on in Central America, there's nothing going on in Mexico to make those
there's
people
something going on, they just told. They just told.
Okay.
They're coming because they told.
So poverty, crime, and their
yeah.
problems with their
but
government.
They get the government that they created. They created them, and they come up here making out the same
deal.
Way. They're about to make it out the same way because they got the wrong
that's
mindset.
Right.
They feel that America is better.
The
them.
State Department
that's
put commercials down in these countries saying that Obama is not going to send you back if you get here. That's why these people are coming over the things. That's why you don't have any refugees coming out of Chicago's South and West Side. Understand that if they were leaving because of violence, then the people of Chicago and L.A. should be
yeah.
able to leave.
Yeah.
You're right.
The people of Chicago and L.A. should be able to do things.
We're not spending $373.75 billion
when
on
black
that.
People move out of violent hoods
and
into better areas, we experience white
and
guess
what? They have IDs in Chicago because
white happens.
The tax dollars we don't need,
hey, good morning.
How come I don't know this happy song? I like this happy song, too. This is a nice happy song.
It's a peaceful song. It's Stevie Wonder.
I know. It's your chilling out.
Yeah. It's Stevie Wonder. It's early.
Now I have to go download this one, too. You know, I go broke at the Amazon store.
That's good.
Whenever I come
they don't
the
give
show.
Me a commission yet. They don't give me a commission yet. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I'm listening to Stevie Wonder today. I've been on him for the last couple of days. And I'm doing flashbacks with Stevie. I mean, this goes back to 1972.
Yeah. You're reliving your youth.
No, I'm actually reliving Jeff's and your youth. I've been around.
That's right.
I know nothing. I don't know. That's why I'm playing them. I'm playing songs that I've never, didn't even know Stevie did. Like, you know, Happier Than the Morning Sun. What kind of song is this?
Well, it's kind of there's I can't think of the artist today who play that kind of music. I like it, and I have a lot of that style of music on my playlist. And, I put it on to chill. I call it relaxing music. I turn it on at my office and shut the door, and nobody can find me, and it's wonderful.
That's good. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Good morning, Alabama. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Doing all right?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm chilling. Just trying to find me a little small barbecue grill. Trying to do me some meat right quick.
Barbecue?
Yeah, a little small one.
A little small barbecue grill? Gas or
Old school. Charcoal. Yeah, I'm going to give me some charcoal and go with it. Make it happen.
Okay. That works.
That sounds all right.
You got some greens to go with?
I eat too many greens growing up. I can't stand collard greens. I eat collard greens almost every day.
Oh, no, whoa. There's other greens. There's mustard, kale, cabbage, spinach.
Collards is all
greens.
We eat.
It ain't got to be all. It ain't got to be all collards.
I'm from Alabama. We eat collards. That's it.
You know why you don't like them? Because you don't get no frost. So you got to get some frost so they can tenderize.
Collards and turnips, that's it. And I hated turnips worse than collards. I would have rather ate collards. You usually want to let them collards get old.
You
that's
don't
like
collard greens?
Good.
What kind of mess is that?
Old collard greens taste the best, even though I don't like them. Even though I don't like collard greens, when they get old, that's when they taste the best.
When they get old?
When you cook them and then have them sit in the fridge for a day or two, then come eat them. That's when they heat them up again. Now they're soft, they're real soft, they taste better.
Well, no,
when you first cook them, they all bouncy, spongy. You want them old, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Pork chop to go with it?
Pork
chop, that was better for me. Fried pork chop, collard green, I hated it, but that's what we ate when I was growing up.
That's what
you
ate.
Come on, y'all. Am I the only one on this phone that Mama said you walked in that house and smelled them collard greens and got mad? Come on, am I the only one?
No, yeah.
When I smelled them collard greens, I was upset.
Macaroni and cheese. That's every day my mother.
Well, macaroni, you know that.
My grandmother, she didn't say that.
It's thousands of ways you can cook macaroni. Collard greens. It's collard greens.
No.
I mean,
right.
I'm talking about boxed, processed, Kraft macaroni because it's real cheap.
Does that?
Look here, I know somebody will fry them greens or fry them macaroni up out the box, make them taste delicious. It just depends on what you do with it. Seasoning, how you hook it up.
I can make collard greens, make you want to marry me. So it's the same difference.
I'm collard greened out. It's only, look. Look here. I'm collard greened out. I don't care what she make them like. They could be delicious. I'm just collard greened out. It ain't got nothing to do with how they taste.
Macaroni and cheese. Out.
Oh, well, look. I ain't got to eat macaroni and cheese. I can eat all type. I like crab legs. I eat all type of stuff now. As I got older, I got more sophisticated.
Listen to y'all. Hey, listen, I got a call coming in. Local call, your mic is on.
This is Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Ms. Tracy, are you still on that immigration?
Yes, go ahead and talk about immigration.
Well, Ms. Tracy, you know, you and I are Afro-Americans. And I consider those people who are from Central America or from Mexico and El Salvador and Nicaragua and those countries, they are our brothers and sisters.
I do too.
And so,
yeah, right.
So that, you know, that it's the European Americans, they're the ones who are upset because they feel that that's going to hurt their way of life and their standard of living. But we as people of color, we were brought into this country. Our ancestors was against their own free will. Our ancestors were stripped the culture, stripped their language, and taught the so-called King's English. We had to adapt to a country.
Yeah,
so that's why we had to assimilate to a country who still treat us like we're not always American citizens. Now, at times I feel we do have some rights because Many times, many of our people had to die to see to it that we gain equality and rights. And we had people who tried to deny our rights. So I don't have nothing against I don't have nothing against the integration people coming into this country here. And I understand why they're coming into this country. Number one, their government is very corrupt. They live in a class system. So I understand they're coming in here to have a better way of life. I know that people feel that that they're going to affect our economy. And plus, they're doing work that we, our ancestors, and we as people did at one time. We worked those fields.
Okay.
We did that work back in during the time of slavery and during the time when we were second-class citizens. So, now we have educated ourselves as a people, and we don't want to do that type of work ourselves, even though... So I understand why they come into this country here, and I mean, I know that this is a country of so-called laws, but those laws can be changed. I think that...
So you think that...
That's me. That's me, because I just think this is crazy what he's saying.
Wait, let him finish. Go ahead, Bianca.
Do you think that, like for here in Missouri, where they come up with a plan to give illegal immigrants, children, scholarships,
Lord, how much?
They're going to be added to the recipients of scholarships when you already have children, especially black children here, who work hard to get scholarships. Now you're going to have some of them having to stand on the outside while others are here illegally, out of all the things you said that blacks went through here, and they are legal citizens, United States citizens, they got to stand on the outside while illegals take those scholarships off the table?
No, I don't think that's right. No, I don't think that's fair.
Well, here's the point. What's not right to what's not fair? Where's the dividing line at this? I say that if you're not here correctly, if you're not here legally, you got to go.
Amen.
So, Bianchi, don't you think that those are our brothers and sisters and that we should...
Man.
Huh?
Man, I got cousins now in Alabama I don't want coming up here eating food when I only got enough of my kids on the table.
Why you got to say Alabama, man?
Hold on, Alabama. Wait a minute. Let everybody get their little laugh. I'll pull you up next. Jeez, oh, man. That was good.
He do make a good point.
Hold on, Steve. Don't say nothing. Hold on, Mark. Go ahead, Alabama.
This is the point. This is the point that I have a problem with. Number one, those people in those countries have the government that they created, just like we do in America. The people create the government. And the government that we have there is a reflection of the people, number one. Number two, it's not a death sentence to send them back home and force them to do it legally. They're so determined, then they'll fill out the paperwork and do what they're supposed to do the right way. If people really care about reform, they'll change the immigration system so it won't take 10 years. Third, these people aren't our brothers and sisters. They don't look at us as brothers and sisters. If you have the worst education system as a black person and you get out here and you try to get a job, who are you going to compete against? The most least educated person out here, which is someone who's an illegal immigrant. And people would rather hire illegal immigrants than blacks. That's just a fact. Because they know off the top, okay, because they feel like, okay, these guys are harder working. They're not as abreast of the American system as the average black person. So I can get this guy to work hard, give him a wage, he'll go home and shut up. Because there's 10 of them living in one house. You can't do that with a black man.
Alabama, listen, now there's some truth to some things you said, and then there's some non-truth. Now, let's be real about this. You know, it's not that they want to see them come into work. Because the problem is they will come and do work that you know we're not going to touch.
That's a myth. That's a myth.
That's true.
That's a myth.
We do that kind of work.
That's a myth.
What do you mean that's a myth?
But it's also at the...
Can I talk? Can I talk?
Hold on. What?
No.
No.
It's also how well they're working.
No.
Can I talk?
You know, it's the quality of the work.
Y'all know it's one at a time in here. Y'all heard everybody talking at the same time and didn't step. Y'all, then none of y'all back up.
Okay.
Go ahead, Steve.
I thought you asked me the question.
No, I just asked the question in general.
I'd pretty much rather sit back and listen, Miss Tracy.
Go ahead, Alabama. Go ahead, Alabama.
This is the problem right here. Number one, when you say that, the construction industry, black people do that. Number one, they come over here.
No,
these guys ain't making what?
What?
Okay. Hold on. Let me finish. Look, I'm telling you right now, they have taken over the construction industry. They've taken over all the restaurant dishwashing industry. When I was a kid in high school, I had a lot of friends that washed dishes at restaurants, Ruby Tuesdays, Applebee's. They're all Hispanic now. They don't just come over here and pick fruit. That's a myth.
Let me explain this to you. This is the problem. See. When I was at Steak and Shake the other day, and a young man came in, and he had his niece with him, nice looking young man, and they said, "What happened to you?" He said, "I got fired." "What happened?" "Well, I didn't call off." "Well, you're supposed to be on schedule, you didn't call off, and you got fired." Now listen, I'm not singling the brother out, but he ain't the only one. We need to understand. I want you to come to work, do your job, be on time, go home. If you don't come to work, if you don't call off, and when you get there you don't do what you're supposed to do, then that's a problem.
Chances are that person has a low-paying job.
No, you said, now wait a minute, you said that we would do it. We're talking about, you talking about this one.
No,
hold on.
What I'm saying is when people treat those jobs like that, a lot of...
No. You said it was a low-paying job. If I'm paying you minimum wage, which is $8, $9, $10 an hour, you're probably making about $8 an hour here in Ohio, $7.70. You come to work, you agree that you're going to make $7.70 an hour. This kid was just out of high school. He probably was not in college. All he had to do was come do his job. I said it was a Steak and Shake. My problem is, he wasn't trying to take care of his family.
That's an anecdote about this one guy.
But also a lot of the work that you learn from home.
Here's the thing that sometimes you face, and I face this myself working in customer service. It's not about you coming to work and just doing your job, because we want to work, we want to do the job, but sometimes that unfairness, that prejudice, that it gets to you. I worked for a company where it was customer service, issuing customer service, and we sat in cubicles. The young white boy always did a horrible job, scored low on his quality assurance, and the white supervisor always sat there, talked to him, guided him. It took him over a year to get fired. Young black girl had one bad score, and she was walked out the door that day. All the time, every job I worked on, I was in a supervisor position, office manager. They complained because the people that I would hire, it was so white before, and now I was hiring more black people, but it was an equal amount of blacks and whites. But they felt that the office was becoming too black. That's the type of stuff we have to deal with. It's not that we don't want to work. It's the atmosphere that we get into that we don't want to deal with.
You mean to tell me they would rather have a whole bunch of non-speaking Latinos working than a whole bunch of black people speaking English coming to work on time and doing their job? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because Latinos will be very subservient. Black people ain't going to let you sit and talk to them any kind of way.
Diva, you can't talk to me any kind of way, but you can't come to work with an attitude either.
We don't come to work with an attitude unless you give us cause.
I'm taking a break. You come on now. Let's be real.
Being real. I don't know a lot of black people that just come to work with an attitude for no reason. There's a lot of stuff that we have to deal when we go to those jobs. a lot of bigotry, racism, prejudice, and favoritism. But illegals, they're going to come here, they're going to be subservient, and yes, sir, no, sir, we've done that already. We don't want to go back to that yes, sir, no, sir, boss, yes, sir, boss. We're not going back to that. But they're fresh off the boat. They're going to do that. That's why they'd rather hire them than to hire us. Because we ain't taking that.
There you go. Let me say something to you. That what you're saying is not true. I was a supervisor for quite a few different places, and our attitude is very flippant and arrogant and feeling like people owe us something, and that's in lots of different areas. So what you're saying is not the thing that we're not going back to being subservient. It's going back to I feel like I'm here and you owe me something. And
no,
I'm trying to tell you.
You may see it that way, Jeff, but I don't see it that way. I see it as, look, what the past is over with. You consider yourself a slave driver and me being your slave? No, I'm not going to deal with it.
That's not what's happening.
But that is what's happening.
No. What's happening is people, they also follow. I'm trying to tell you.
You see it one way, and I see it another.
No, you can see it your way, but your way is...
Jeff, am I muted, Jeff?
No.
No, you're not muted.
Damn, people just talking like ain't nobody even talking to her. That was crazy. Go ahead.
You were muted at first. We didn't hear you.
Let me make a last statement here for a minute. It's not that at all, Diva. It's just the one thing is people came up forgetting the 60s and the 50s or not knowing it because they're too young. And when you got somebody that'll sit up there and MF their own mama, that's disrespectful. You're disrespectful of authority, and they can't work inside of things. That's why you're being replaced. I'm not playing when I post those things about the African-American community being replaced. That's what they're doing, and they're using
okay.
a black face to do it.
So I'm lying about my experiences.
You're not lying at all, Diva.
And the point Diva was making, I was actually going to bolster and say I agree with her because when I was a produce manager, there was this young 23-year-old white kid over me, and he was racist, clearly. I mean, he would treat us black people like dirt. And he would always say, you work for me, you work for me. He would always say that. And I almost slapped him one day, and I grabbed him by his hand. I grabbed him and said, man, don't you ever, he called me in on my off day, told me this is this day. Don't do that. And called me on my off day, I had to ride all the way across town just to go in and hear him say one sentence. I almost slapped him. But that's what I'm saying. Like, when you're black and you're working with white people, there are certain things that you're fighting for. You represent your whole race as a black person. And when you come into a job, you're not just coming in like a Mexican who's just coming to work. Okay, he's hard working. I'm going to leave him alone. You come in as a black person, he's up to no good. How many times did he go to the bathroom? How many times has he been on the cell phone? They watching you like a hawk because you're black.
Yep.
And I know people don't want to hear that. I do IT. I've had people complain about me going to the bathroom. Like, I've had people complain about the frequency of times I go to the bathroom. It's a different stigma when you're black in a work environment. So a lot of times when black people have problems, it's not always, okay, you're just lazy. That's not the case. Because you represent everybody. They got all type of stigma. They watch something on TV with a guy with his pants hanging off his ass, and now they're looking at you like, okay, well, that's you too. That's what they think.
I came to work in a dress that I thought was conservative, but because I have curves, they pulled me into the office and said I was out of dress code. There was a white girl that came in with her belly button showing, a jean skirt, mid-thighs, and I was like, well, why didn't y'all pull her in? Well, no one said anything.
She ain't got nobody.
Well,
she ain't got nobody.
Talking about, right. Well, I was like, well, who's talking? Well, who's telling on me, not on her? And now I'm telling you about her, but you're not going to pull her in and about her dress code? This isn't about her. This is about you.
That's legit. That's totally legit, too. That's the stuff that I'm talking about.
Oh, that's the stuff that we have to deal with, the attitudes where there was this white boy at my sister's job. This white boy cussed out his manager. because he didn't want to do all the work that they told him he had to do. Cussed out his manager. All the manager did was walk away. A black boy came to work smelling. They suspected him of smelling like alcohol. They fired him.
Oh, yeah.
Did you tell me that's fair?
No, it's not, and that still goes on.
The problem is, Dina, we're working in their businesses that they own. That's the problem. That's really the crux of it. You can't change people's hearts. Only God can do that. But we got to own our own businesses and control our own community.
Sure.
That's it. I mean, because these people, these Mexicans are coming, these Latinos are coming over, and they're going to assimilate into the same system of white supremacy, and they're going to assimilate and do the same. They're not going to buck against the system. As long as they're getting benefits right now. They're not going to do
that.
Because down there in Mexico, they have a system of white supremacy.
Exactly. That's why when you watch their soap operas on Univision, is always white-looking people on there.
Right.
Those are the Spaniards. Those are the holdovers from Spain. Those are the higher caste. They don't have to leave Mexico because they live like kings down there. I've been down there and played basketball. Them folks riding around wealthy down there, those Spaniards,
the main ones that
cross
the border here are the ones who are the farmers and
the Indians,
people who have been on the street for long periods of time in Mexico.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are crossing the border.
People that really, and a lot of times, I hate to say this because it's going to be cruel, a lot of times those people don't have workable skills to do anything. A lot of them come over here and just take basic, low-skill labor jobs. For people that I honestly think, like, if you got rid of all Mexicans, black unemployment would drop. Now, if you don't believe that, you're being disingenuous.
And also,
but
what's happening
is
some of the gang members are crossing the border, too.
Yeah,
there is
the
truth that there are some jobs that we are not willing to work. We are not willing to work. We don't
I understand that, Diva. I understand that, but hold on. I agree with you that we're not willing to work. But if you get rid of the illegals and the unemployed, you telling me that the whole unemployment rate, yeah, there's still going to be jobs left unworkable. That black folks won't work. But you're telling me that black unemployment won't drop from double digits down to 6-7% if you just got rid of all these illegals.
Have you ever heard of the Allied International Worker Union? The Allied International Workers Union is a black union. It started off in 773 area code, Indiana, I believe it is. That's a union that champions for black workers in the construction industry to get them jobs, get them employed, and get them also into the traditional union. And there's thousands of them, and they're ready to go to work.
But the whole question is like, how effective are those organizations? Because blacks have trouble even getting into unions up here in terms of different labor unions, they have a very difficult time trying to get membership in the labor union.
Well,
in the Northeast,
they're recognized by the Department of Labor, and the workers, contractors, can use their people, and they do use them. Matter of fact, that's what they've done in Chicago. And Chicago had those same problems
today a little bit, and. You know, I'm going to do a little bit more research because it's my understanding that we are in flux massively here in the United States with an immigration problem that we are just not trying to resolve. And I don't see where the rocket science comes in that we cannot fix it, because you can fix what you choose to fix if you choose to fix it. And right now, no one wants to fix it, and it's not that hard. It just doesn't seem that hard. To fix the problem and then to alleviate the problem in the future by border control and by making it easily accessible for people to come in. You know, I heard someone say, well, you know, these people are our brothers and sisters. I think that was Steve. And that we ought to, you know, we ought to treat them fairly and kindly and all that. And I agree. They are our brothers and sisters. But I'm with Pianchi, and I don't agree with him often, but I'm with Pianchi on this one. There's some family members that I don't want you to come and move in with me and mooch off of me just because you're my family member. Now, if you coming in and you come the right way, just don't show up on my doorstep. And that's just not how this works. And what's happening is people are showing up on – I mean, seriously, Diva, you don't want me just coming to your house and then sitting and coming into your house, moving into your house, and you're going to take care of me for the next 4 or 5 weeks until I get on my feet. You don't want that.
I might not want you to, but if you came knocking on my door, I'm going to let you in.
You're going to let me in, but how?
Mm-hmm.
you're going to let me in and you're going to let me just stay the night, right? And for a couple weeks.
No.
I'm moving in. I'm not.
If you
so
don't,
why not?
No. If you have nothing, and I've done this for a girl before. I've done this for a person before. I met her at work. She had nothing. She was having problems at home. I let her come into my home. I said, look, you don't have to pay no rent, nothing. Just pay for your own incidentals, your food, and stack up your money so that you have a place so that you can find
Diva.
A place.
And did she bring her kids?
Months. She didn't have any kids, but if she had kids, hey, I would let
Diva?
Them come too. That's how
did
I
she
am.
Bring her, did she bring her sister and brother too?
No, she was the only child.
Could she do it?
Yes.
But here's the thing. You're going to let them come and stay at your house, which is fine. And they're going to come there, and they're not going to work, and they're going to just expect you to feed them every day and to clothe them every day.
Yes.
And to, they're going to wash at your house every day. They're going to do all of that. Okay, you ain't making no more money than you had in the first place. You can't do it a certain way. Somebody will have to get off their butt and do something. Now, if they have to go to work, guess what's going to happen? Those that are double-digit unemployed, like those that look like you and I, guess what they're not going to get? They're not going to get any more jobs. You've been replaced.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. You're being replaced.
Also, in that analogy that she gave, the person didn't knock on your door. They kicked your door in and just came in. And you came home and saw them like, hey, who are you? Oh, I live here. That's really a good analogy. They didn't knock on the door. They came and took it. And then they bragging and they marching and bragging about it and dare you to say something. You better not say something. They going back 50 years ago and say, my dad owned this house. Run the title on it.
Yeah.
Even though he sold it, my dad owned it one time, so it's mine. That's how they think.
And let me say this. When you say about construction jobs, they're going into construction jobs because they're willing to go and do whatever it takes to get the job done. We don't have attitudes. Yes, we do. We show up at work on time.
Oh, man.
No, we don't. Come on.
Lord. Tracy, I'm going to say this right here. I did construction, not construction, but flipped houses full time for about 5 years. I do
and
IT.
All of your, oh,
IT,
stop.
Hold on,
all,
IT right
slow
now
down.
Is
no,
all
no,
Indian.
No, no, slow down. Alabama, slow down. I'm going to ask you some questions. Had a job. Did you hire people?
Yes, I did.
On
the time.
Did you hire all black companies?
I tried. I had a few of them.
Did you hire all black companies?
I did. Not every time, though.
Did you hire them and you pay them their wage? Did they always come to work on time?
Yes, they came on time. I didn't have any problems with the black workers, but I hired certain black workers. I didn't hire a certain time when I knew my dad had been around. I've been around this stuff since I was little. I knew when the guy was full of it. I knew when the guy was going to, you know, I had one incident at my very first house and I learned. You hire reputable guys. You check references.
Okay.
So
the black construction workers that you worked when you were flipping those houses, but you didn't hire them on every job. Why not?
Well, sometimes they would either be busy, and sometimes I just couldn't find them. Like, one guy was great, but he left town, he moved out to another city, but that was that. But most of the guys I worked with, let me tell you one guy I know in particular that worked with me full-time named Rock. Great guy, real good, trustworthy, shows up, does his job. Guess what? I'm going to say this is going to sound bad. He sold drugs. You know why he sold drugs? He couldn't get no work. He would call me all the time trying to get work. This guy can do roofing. He can do frame. He can do everything. Couldn't get a job. But guess what? It was so many jobs being taken by these illegals.
But you know, let me say this. Then tell him he needs to move to Ohio. Because we need good people to be a handyman work around here.
I guarantee they ain't nothing but illegals doing the construction work up there, too.
No. Listen, what I'm telling you, we're trying to. And Jeff, am I incorrect? We don't have a big illegal immigration problem up here.
Yeah.
That is not our problem up here.
It's coming.
But we're trying to find people to come to work and do a job, and that is a problem.
Yeah.
That's incorrect.
I mean,
hold on, whoa. I asked you, I asked you, Jeff. I don't see a lot of immigrants here working from South America.
It hasn't gotten there yet because
Philadelphia,
because
small
towns up there.
How many Jeffs do I have on the line?
Philly, let me answer this. I don't know what you're not seeing. Obviously, you're not observing, because I told you I just saw four crews in my neighborhood alone doing roofs. So once again, you're incorrect on that.
I asked the question. I can't help you. Didn't answer it. And I didn't see I did not see immigrants working. I did not see people who are of that status. Now, I know we have a huge Amish community working on the sidelines. I see them putting on a lot of roofs. But I don't see a lot of people of Latin descent in the Mahoning Valley, because they still only make up 2% of the population here.
Obviously, you're not looking at the crews that are picking fruit and vegetables, and you're not looking at the roofing crews. Go drive.
Yes, I live in the city.
So you got to don't go to the city. What you going to come to the city? There's no money in the city. They go other places. The people in the city can't afford a whole lot of roof fixing. Some do, there's some that do, some that can't. But the thing is they don't go to the inner cities necessarily.
No.
So you're telling me we have a large immigration problem here in Mahoning Valley?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying, Mark? Do you see that also?
We did some work with some folks, if you remember, last November and January. And I came away with the opinion that the Hispanic community is probably the fastest growing segment in the area, and I'm going to suspect that we do. But you've got to be in the right places to see it.
Tracy, you cruise down 46 through Austintown, headed towards Warren. You'll see that it's growing.
Yeah, new for me. But with that said, I don't see them taking jobs away from African Americans in this community, or am I missing this?
Because over in the state of Ohio, you're more in an isolated area over there.
Philadelphia.
First of all, our community, African Americans, have been demoralized to the point of thinking that they need to do things with drugs and and crime. Many of them, not all of them. And the others are leaving in droves because they can't find work here. And, yes, they will hire a Hispanic here before they'll hire a black, because black people have become, in the eyes of the majority of many people, unruly. It's very hard to get them to come to work on time and to stay and give you a couple weeks of good work. It's very hard. Now, that's messing it up for the good people. But the thing is that is what you're getting when you hire. Ask the call centers how much turnover they have, because people just won't come to work.
I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm just saying I don't see it here. But I do see a lot of people that I know that we're trying to get to go to work that they will not get up and go. They will not go and do what's necessary to make it happen.
But
I do see a lot
problems.
Of that. Pardon me?
Problems. Two separate problems.
If I ask you to come to work and you don't come to work, you can't get mad at me if I go hire somebody else to do the job.
Well, that's two separate problems, because they were created. Those people that are like that were created. That was done through the government. On purpose, for to create a base of people that can sustain certain people in their electorate. But also,
I just wanted to say that the state of Ohio is the Midwest. That's more of an isolated area. They haven't moved over to those regions as west as yet. Most of them are concentrated in the southeast, on the west coast, and on the east coast. But once they start to come over in large numbers, you're going to start to see them move into the Midwest as well.
The hearing numbers, the swelling our systems of welfare and things like that, and you can't, you don't see them because you don't know where they're at, but they're there, and they're working the fields. They're working with in a lot of the rural industries. but they're also in your suburban neighborhoods putting on these roofs and doing landscaping, et cetera, et cetera. And they are taking huge amounts of money.
I do know the landscapers that are here, they are part of what they call a red card program. And they've been coming in here for a long time.
Delusional.
And they are, pardon me? This is not delusion. I'm telling you what it's called about a red card program. This program is designed for people to come here from South America and or from Mexico. They come here and they work. They work under a legal status. And then they go back home after the season's over. And that's how the landscaping is done here for a lot of our companies here.
But also, I mean, it's hard to compare a place over like a Youngstown, Ohio, to the same type of city on the East Coast where you have a larger type of influx of immigrants to begin with. So therefore, most of them are naturally going to go to places that they've heard of in the news or from different types of information they've gotten from friends and so forth. So for them to penetrate into Ohio is going to take a longer time for you to actually see them in different types of businesses.
And most of them are coming here from the East Coast.
That's what I'm trying to say. Of course, the majority of them are going to be on your coast and on your borders because that's where they came in at. And of course, that's where a lot of things are at. But they are migrating all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no area that is being withheld from them because they are coming here and they're going to start businesses quicker and work harder than everybody else because they're hungry. They're hungry for it, and they enjoy the freedom.
Because once they start starting businesses, is that our fault or is that theirs?
It's our fault. System that does not want to hire you anymore. The system is relying on them to be the small business owners and to be the factory workers from now on. And once they're able to become a person who's a citizen, they'll be able to move into the public sector, which is where most African-Americans currently work in. Once they get inside the public sector, the African-Americans are probably going to be pushed out of the workforce, and then you'll see the numbers of unemployed just go up and up and up.
I mean, the numbers of unemployed are double digits. I mean, we're like three times it's high. But I'm just saying, I don't see right now, even what we're talking about, when it comes down to people working lower-level jobs, and I'm talking about just minimum wage, we don't want to work there, but we don't want to go get an education either.
Well, I don't think it's the case they don't want to work there. It's that they are not kept on very long because there may be contention on the job and the amount of money that they're able to get. They probably have a hard time trying to live on that, so therefore they have to try to look for something else.
But you gotta come to work and do a job. I mean, you just can't show up and say, you know, there's a process here. Whether we like it or not.
But the main difference with the immigrants is they have more of a tighter knit among each other, and they will live like five and six to an apartment, to a house, and they'll be able to reduce their cost of living, whereas with African-Americans aren't set up that way.
But that's because we choose not to. We don't even take care of the babies we got.
Yeah. So therefore, it goes back to the fact that you have a problem with the African-American family. You don't have a father in the home who's supporting the family. You don't have a mother in the home who's supporting the family. So, you know, you have to go back, the people who are the ministers have to try to restructure the black family. Because that's one of the main problems. You don't have an intact family.
So whose fault is that?
Well, I mean, part of the fault is you probably don't have African-American people who feel there's a need to have a father and a mother in the home with two incomes who are supporting the household. You don't see that need today. It's probably because the churches don't have the same level of influence with the black families as they had in the past. So you don't have the ministers trying to counsel people who are married to stay married. And you don't see married people going to church together with their children. So you don't.
So who we going?
So you don't
gonna,
have those. I mean, you don't have those types of ethics in place anymore.
So whose fault is that? I keep on saying that. I mean, I can hate on who's coming over here to take my job, but if I'm not willing to do what's necessary, I can't blame somebody else if they go find somebody else to do my job.
Well, the main thing that needs to happen is you need to build some type of entrepreneurial class among black people inside
these
cities. Because what's happening is every other immigrant group is taking over all of the small businesses. If you go to a city like Philadelphia, the Asians own all of the small businesses. You can't have a situation like that where you have a population, where you have a large population of black people.
John. But who's patronizing these businesses?
Well, the majority of the people who patronize them are African Americans. But the problem is that African Americans do not have the financial education to know how to start businesses, and they don't have the credit history either.
John, so will they show up? If you have a class, will they show up?
I would say if you have a class and that class is directed the right way, they probably will show up. But you don't have people who are willing to train them and
to
show them what to do.
That's not true. Go ahead, Maxwell Mind Mike. I hear you.
That's
up there.
Not the case here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, John, first of all, you're telling me that somebody who came across the border illegally did menial jobs for below minimum wage for a couple of years and migrated to Ohio is going to have a stronger credit rating and have access to capital than an indigenous black person who's lived in Ohio all their life, that they're going to have a one-up on that black person when it comes to credit rating and availability of capital to start a business? I think you got half the formula, John. They need to be trained how to be entrepreneurs. And here's what I say to you and Stanley and anybody else. Why aren't you doing that, John? Why don't you go see if you can go out there and find half a dozen of these kids and meet with them once a week? I don't care if you share a pizza with them. Once a week for an hour, meet with them and see what they're interested in doing. It can start with you. It doesn't have to be a friggin' federal program.
They pool their money among each other. They take the strongest person in their community.
So why can't I pool my money with Jeff?
Am I muted?
Whose fault is this? No, you're my son.
Because you don't have any.
Because they
got a couple dollars.
To a house. They stay 10, 8 to a house, all of them.
Yeah.
They what?
And neither do I.
10 to 8 of them in one house.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We see that this model's working. But we can't come together and raise the money that we need collectively.
People don't turn on a dime. I agree with you. But we don't turn on a dime like that. I agree. I think it's going to take some generations. But people just don't turn on a dime. You just don't do that. You've been doing something for 40, 50 years, and all of a sudden you just turn on a dime. I mean, look at them. They still vote for a guy that don't care nothing about them. They still love him. So you just don't turn on a dime like that.
Okay, so we don't turn on a dime. But we will. But we're going to blame everybody else for the job that we can't do because when they come here, they go get it done.
That's
so it's their fault. And it's their fault because they come and do the job that we don't want to do. They'll eat crow until they get to where they're going to go. But we're going to blame them because we can't come together. We can't spend on a dime. Yet we can get together and throw a party in a weekend.
That's not what it is. That's not how it
works.
Come
on now.
There's just no way. I mean, they just going to come in and get all these jobs and do whatever. And everybody's going to still think they're picking fruit. These people have higher net worth than we do now, than blacks.
We are not making just chump change either. The problem is we forgot where we came from, and we're not going back to put money back into our own communities, and we get mad when other people do it.
Well, you know what? I might actually be for immigration, illegal immigration. I really wouldn't care.
Hold on, Alabama. Go ahead, Mark.
There are a couple of things that were said here as I sat through the conversation that I found interesting. First of all, I don't know who made the comment about blacks moving into the public sector, and I didn't quite follow what was being said, but that is the normal progression as different groups in society move into mainstream society. The normal path is through the public sector. Happened with the Italians, happened with the Irish. It's happening with African Americans, and that's a good thing. It's a good stepping stone. You're right, Tracy, that there's no looking back. If you look at the Asians and you look at the Hispanics, they take care of their own. They pool their money, and they work together. Even as far back as when my grandmother came over, she lived on top of the store. They pooled their money. There are a bunch of people living in the house, and they all worked for the common goal. But I am going to say one thing. It is, I think, much harder generally today to start a business. There are so many regulations, and it has been my theme for years. Big business, big labor, big government. And that's what controls the country right now, and it makes it very, very difficult for normal folks to get up and start what it is that they're doing. It can be done. But it's tougher today. It's hard today to do that because they'll slap you down. But
it's okay to be slapped down.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no business in America right now that has woke up and they were a success and had smooth sailing from the beginning to the end.
Sure.
None.
Sure. I agree.
When 100%. I look at Microsoft is laid off 18,000 people today.
Sure.
That says something.
I agree. But if you go into business and you try to comply with the regulations that you need, you can't. And, you know, which comes to the, you know, it's, but you know, I when people come and talk to me, I say, listen, do what you can. It's better to fix it later than to try to comply up front because you won't. You can't. If you comply with one thing, you violate another one. My goodness, you look at the tax structure today.
You play Russian roulette with your life.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's why when you become successful, you can't say, you know, you can't forget where you came from.
So you add on economic disadvantage on top of the structural barriers for starting businesses. It is a very formidable task, and that is a problem. I think it's magnified in the African-American community, but it certainly is a problem across the board in this country, which is why we have so many unemployed people. You just can't – what can you do? There's no place to go. There's no alternative.
But you can. You just have to be willing to sacrifice a lot.
I agree.
And if you're not
done.
Willing to sacrifice a lot, but you can't get mad for those who are willing to drink an ocean to come here to take advantage of what you won't take advantage of here.
Yeah, well, that's another issue. But I'll tell you what, my grandmother and grandfather couldn't have started their business today. It wouldn't have worked.
Oh, they say that you can start a whole bunch of businesses today.
Tracy, there wasn't one thing here, though, argued either way that's new. We were dealing with this 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago, up in New England with the Canadians coming down into the construction trades, and they would come down in an RV. There'd be 10 of them sleeping in it, eating spaghetti every night, and when the going rate was $2.40 a square foot to frame a house, that Canadian family and extended cousins and neighbors would frame the same house for $1 a square foot, and we were losing a lot of work to them. So every argument I've heard here, guys, it's old news. Tell us something new. You've always got to find your niche and work your tail off, and that's just the reality of it. No one's going to hand
Alabama,
you anything. You're always
going to have competition. And I disagree with Alabama completely, and I've got to go until tomorrow. I disagree with you totally when you talk about that they've taken up all the opportunity and there is none for us today, and that they're giving it to them because I disagree wholeheartedly.
I did not say there is no opportunity for black people. Didn't hear me say that.
I believe that there's opportunity. I believe that you can go get a job and you can work. You got to prove yourself. And, yes, you've got to overcome the people that were before you because the person that was there before you probably didn't do what they were supposed to do. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you and have a good day.
I agree with her. I do think that the people, the generation previously, didn't do what they were supposed to do. All I'm saying is if you're going to take on a task, be able to measure and make sure that when you take the task, you're going into it logically and you see what you're about to face. Don't just assume that, okay, I got my will and desire and that's enough. No, you need to be smart and know where to place your will and desire and know what you're up against. You can't just sit up here and ignore millions and millions and millions of illegals coming into this country taking jobs from undereducated people.
Right. And so
I mean, if you're undereducated as a black person, your competition is are these illegals, and they're not coming over here thinking, hey, these are my black brothers. They don't think like that. So just understand that. I'm not saying don't go out. I believe you can make it, but let's understand what you're up against. That's all I'm saying. Know your enemy. Know what you're up against. Don't look at it as everybody's kumbaya. We just need to work hard. You can work hard all your life and be sitting up in at the end of your life broke with nothing. You got to work smart, not hard. Be intelligent. They say, measure 10 times, cut once. That's what they say. Measure it 10 times, then make one snip. But you got to be smart enough to know what you're facing. Don't just assume just because somebody tells you that these illegals are coming over here that they're our friends and that they aren't taking jobs. These illegals aren't coming over here and just sitting down saying, you know what, we'll just pick food.
In fact, in South America, to be black is even more discriminated against than it is here in the United States. The Spanish are very, very anti-black.
Yeah.
They do not see you as your brother, and they don't see you as a kindred spirit. They see you as pollution in their society, and it's sad. So they don't come here with any spirit of wanting to help a black guy out.
Exactly. They don't see themselves as victims. They're not coming here with that mindset.
No,
they're coming here like, I
speak
Spanish.
They're coming
here. I speak Spanish.
I
speak to certain contractors. They don't even speak to me. They hate when I speak Spanish. I told a guy, Encantado, nice to meet you. He just walked off.
Yeah.
They hate our guts. He didn't answer the phone. He didn't even answer the phone. He hated my guts because I'm black and I was flipping houses and I was making money. And the guy told me he don't like black people. Yeah, he took it personal.
You know why he got mad because you speak Spanish? Because he can't talk
about it.
Because
I'm supposed to be too stupid. Yeah, because I'm supposed to be stupid. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the Spanish as a group are more anti-gay. They're more anti-black. They're less tolerant. And when they come here, you and I keep saying, well, they're taking all these menial jobs. No, they're not. They're saying, I got an opportunity to make money. I got an opportunity to live like a dog and get paid like a man. And in the spread between the two existences, I make enough money to change my family's life. And they feel superior.
Everybody that's picking fruit has not been here over 2 years. If they've been here over 2 years, they're not picking fruit. That's a lie.
Yeah, I know. They get wised up pretty darn quick. And of course, there's all these...
Go negotiate with a Hispanic contractor and tell me they're not charging. Pretty much the same thing everybody else charging now. These folks ain't fools.
Exactly.
Yeah, that whole no English is crap. Every last one of them speak English just as good as we do. And that's what pisses me off the most, because they'll be hanging out together, they'll say Spanish, and they mix it all up. And that's how you're going to be talking about you.
Right.
But when I hear them doing that, I walk away.
Yeah.
You know, my wife runs a particular program at a school, after school, and I'm telling you, they play you on that – can't speak English thing.
Oh,
they put you on purpose, and she's so intuitive that she caught several of them, and they come clean with her. You know, but the school thinking they can't speak any English. No speak any English.
Uh-huh.
But see, you got to be smart. You got to get on their level and speak Spanish. Oh, you don't speak English? Okay, habla español. Yo hablo castellano también. Let's go.
That's
why
we need to.
Now they don't like you.
We need a president with that good old-fashioned Spanish word, cojones, who passes an executive order. We got 2 years for all federal agencies to go back to 100% English, and English is the official language. You walk in and you want to play that game, because if it isn't Spanish, it's going to be Korean. If it ain't Korean, it's going to be Vietnamese or Farsi or Persian or something someday. As every time
That's true.
New group moves through this society, and it's going to be, well, come back when you got, come on back, oh, when you got someone in your family, oh, who can speak English to help, oh, you, oh, sorry, but, oh, go, go, oh, vamos. You know, that's what you got to tell them, and force them to be in the mainstream. But when they start with this crap that you can apply in English, you can apply in Spanish, you can do this. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys a true story. You won't believe it, but I swear to God, I swear on my mother's memory that it's true. I attended a graduation ceremony back in my home state of Connecticut, for a lady who used to work for me. Her youngest son graduated high school, and she was so proud because he did really well. During the graduation, this is only like 12, 13 years ago at the most. During the graduation ceremony, they announced that they were giving out the bilingual scholarship for the Spanish-speaking students who made the most progress in this high school. And this happened in Waterbury, Connecticut. Okay, it was the Wilby High School. And they should give the award. They had the lady who was the teacher, who was the head of the bilingual department, to give the award. And when she got up on stage, there was all this back and forth confusion. The principal had to step up and say, sorry for the confusion, but Mrs. So-and-so doesn't speak English. The head of the friggin' bilingual department in a city of 120,000 people that only has three high schools, she did not speak English. What the hell was she even doing having a job then?
She wasn't born in America. She wasn't born. That was an illegal. That was an illegal person.
You know, if you call Time Warner Cable Cut Sales Department and you press 2 for Spanish, you'll get cheaper rates.
Really?
You don't believe me? Try it.
Well, anyway, you guys have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, I had an opportunity last week to meet your better half here. She stayed on the line after the show was over.
Yes, she told me.
You're a blessed man, and you don't deserve her.
Ha ha! She's so blind.
Either that or she doesn't deserve the punishment, one or the other. I haven't figured it out.
Hey, she got sentenced with me for something. I don't know what happened.
Sounds like a life sentence to me, Jeff.
Yeah, it's been 30 years. That's it, man.
Blessed man. You're a blessed man.
That's what Mark said. You know, I'm a co-host. He met her about a month ago. He said, you're Jeff's wife? You're Jeff's wife? You're too pretty to be Jeff's wife.
Yeah, yeah. She's too,
what
she's
the
too
heck?
Together to be your wife. She's awesome.
I'm a player. Shut up. Leave me alone. I know what to do.
Holy smokes.
I deserve her. You don't know what happens when she's not on that phone, see?
Yeah, 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 I know. I've seen what happens when she's not there to rein you in. Yeah.
She's always there, right? She's always there, not so blind.
Yeah, yeah. We gotta tie that little lasso around a private part and then connect it to your biggest foot. That's what we gotta do.
Well,
so when you step out, you know it.
That's okay. That's okay, because I'm working it out, brother. I'm working it out.
You're doing a good job, Jeff. You're doing a good job. Tell Mrs.
She's great. She's brilliant and beautiful. So you can't ask for much more.
No, you can't. Throw in maybe cooking once in a while, and you're all set.
Well, she can do that well, too. Oh, listen.
Yeah.
Out of 30 years, there's been two dishes I didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I got
30 years.
I got lucky, too. And, you know, great lady. And sometimes I just shake my head wondering what the heck she sees in me, you know? Great lady.
All right, gentlemen, I'll talk to you later. God
bless
you.
Take care, Jeff. Take care.
All right.
Hey, Stanley. Is Stanley on the line still? I hope
I don't know if he was here. I didn't know he was on here.
Yeah, I thought I heard Stanley speak up earlier. But yeah, you know, it's like, why do we have to wait for a government program? I mean, we could mentor anybody. I mean, you know, and you don't have to make it an official thing. Just if some young person starts asking you questions, find out why they're asking the questions.
I mean, you're going to see that. You're going to see that when people start suffering, and the suffering's coming. I mean, the more Hispanics come out, the more jobs, the higher unemployment.
Yeah.
They could take the number down to 1% if they want. It's still almost 100 and something million folks unemployed. I don't care what they tell me about unemployment numbers. People are suffering, and the more suffering happens, the more entrepreneurial they're going to become. They're not just going to sit there.
Yeah, because the Depression proved that. Because, here it was a worldwide Depression, and compared to the rest of the world, very few Americans starved to death. Okay, the rest of the world had huge famine. The United States didn't. And that was with a 25% unemployment rate during the Great Depression. You know?
I mean, actually, the number should be way up there now, but it's high.
Yeah,
it's going down.
Games. Yeah.
And I saw all these people, I'm like, no, man, all them folks that fell off, you got almost a third, one in three people in America don't work. Actually, more than that.
Yeah, you got to reach out and you got to help people where you find them, and you help them in the condition they're in. And, you know, it's like I had interns here for the summer, okay? And they want to go home and start businesses. So right away, you know, they start telling me that they need $100,000. They need this. They need that. And I said, have you ever done that business? They said, no. I mean, you would have thought I just handed them a $5 million bill when the way their mind opened up when I said, here's how you do this. You and your partner, because there were two of them. They were going to go partners together. I said, you need to each go and find a job to two different companies doing exactly what you want to do. And you need to work for them for whatever they'll pay you, even nothing, for at least a year, so that you don't piss that whole $100,000 away making mistakes your first year, because they will teach you what the truth is about that business. You can't pay people enough for consulting. You will learn it firsthand. You will know why they buy what they buy, where they shop, who they shop from, what banks they do their relationships in, what equipment is the best, what equipment isn't the best, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And go study what they do. It won't mean you won't make any mistakes, but you would have eliminated 85 or 90% of them just by getting 1 year's experience working for a person who someday will be your competition. Or do you want to go in green with $100,000 you borrowed from grandma that's in a second mortgage on her house, at her age, 70-something years old, and then you want to make all the mistakes because this person who you could have worked for and learned from is now your competition from day one and will tell you nothing. There's a big secret to just go and find somebody who's already doing it and just shadow them. And that costs nothing to do, and in most cases they'll pay you to be a gopher.
Me and my brother were talking about a business, and we were talking about getting people to sign non-compete. Because it's just,
yeah.
Who's going to train, get them trained, and then we're going to do all the marketing for it. But
yeah.
We didn't
yeah.
want them to come in later on and be like, okay,
yeah.
Now we're going to take his customers.
Yeah, well, most non-compete clauses don't hold up in court if they're more than for a short period of time or if the mileage is like.
No, it was just 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. But then there's someone put in and you can't be within 500 miles, and they consider that onerous, and they won't honor that. But, okay, so you can't compete for 2 years, but in those 2 years, you could go to work for someone else and then come back and go, you know, so now you got 2, 3, 4 years experience under your belt, and the first guy can't touch you then because you're beyond the 2 years, you know, or go out of your area to do it, too, if it's something you really want to do. A job is a job, especially if you're young and you have no family ties in the sense you don't have a wife and kids and all that that you have to come home to every night. You know, but then again, we have a lot of people in America who don't come home to their family every night. They're called over-the-road truck drivers. They leave the house. They may not come home maybe one weekend or 5 days once a month when they're, you know, after being out there 3 to 3.5 weeks. And they make good money, and they bank at a national bank, and the wife sees the paycheck, and she pays the bills and raises the kids. So, you know, and that's what they do. So, you know, to leave your house and go elsewhere for work and opportunity when you're young, it's like grow up, get out of your family's basement, and go see the real world, you know?
Yeah, I believe in that. I don't have a problem. I think sometimes when I make points, I'm not making points to be pessimistic or something impossible. I'm not doing it. What I'm saying is let's look at something.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic when we see something and not just say, You know,
I
used
that
to think
Alabama
like that.
When I was younger. I was blind, you know, and I still would buy a one-way plane ticket and go down south, and I'd work through the winter down south, and I would just decide, well, I think this time I want to do this, so maybe I want to do that. And those are the tools I'd ship or pack or whatever, and it's where I learned a lot of the different trades and stuff I learned in. I worked in, you know, all kinds of different situations, and it was just fun. It was expanding, and, you know, some jobs I got paid well, and other jobs I got paid the minimum wage. I didn't care because up north was winter. There wasn't much going on in construction in the winter up north, and it was in a nice place where on the days I didn't have work, I could hit the beach, you know. So that wasn't a bad life either in your 20s, you know. But I learned a lot, and I met some really cool people, and that's when I met the Texan who was worth $80 million. And I shared that story with you, didn't I, Alabama?
Yeah, you told me about the guy that you talked about.
Yeah, how did he make the $80 million? And he shared the secret with me. How did he make the $80 million? And I never forgot that. And that's why when I hear everybody here moaning about minimum wage and because you can't make it on 40 hours a week being paid minimum
wage.
Hold
on 1 second, Mike.
Yeah.
Y'all get cash back, right? Okay. Go ahead. Okay. No problem. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And that's when...
not on me. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
That's when old RT gave me the secret how he made his $80 million. You know, it wasn't his day job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I never forgot that. It's just that if somebody can come to me and tell me they tried and show me what they did to try and it didn't work out, I'm a lot more sympathetic here than I am for somebody who takes no step and wants to tell you why the journey's dangerous without even trying. I just have no patience for that. I keep thinking of John Kennedy. He said we were going to go to the moon by the end of the decade. Everybody at NASA looked at each other and said, he's nuts. We don't have the technology, but he made the commitment. We didn't have any of the problems solved, but we solved them as they came along. Got to get in gear, got to get in motion. But to have an opinion based upon no real input, because you didn't even try, it's invalid. That's
us a lot of times, though.
Yeah. And we've all had failures. I've had more failures than I've had success, but, you know, the successes I had made up for it.
I mean, what really gets under my skin more than anything is people that ridicule you when you fail. Like, when you fail at something, and then they always, you know, like people have told me, well, Bill, you always trying these different businesses. You don't stick them to the end. You don't stick it through. Like, now, it's not that I don't stick it through to the end. Something stops you. You get put out of business. When you do real estate and the bank stop lending, I didn't try to, you know, or the comedy club. We ran out of money.
Yeah.
Promoting concerts, you run out of money. It's not that I just quit.
Yeah.
I didn't just quit in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, people look at that and say, oh, you gave up. I didn't give up nothing. It gave me up, whether I wanted to or not.
Yeah, I've had a lot of things like that fall through that I counted on and stuff, but, you know, I learned something. I made a few more contacts, and the next time I went to do something, it was at least I could get past the first 20%. See, each time you learn, the first time I got the 10% and the wheels fell off, the next time I got the 20% and the wheels fell off, next time I hit 50% of where I needed to go and the wheels fell off. And eventually you get to a point where even if the wheels fall off, you still made a darn good pay for 2-3 years. And then the wheels fall off. And the next time you made a damn good pay for 2-3 years, and then the wheels fell off. Well, you know, it makes up. My lifetime average earnings, being a disabled person here in the United States and all that comes with that, my average lifetime earnings still has me in the upper 5% of incomes in the United States. You know, and it's all because of what I tried. Because my life is, your life is built on what you can do, not the things you can't do. So if you want to sit there and make the list of what you can't do, well, hell, there's a million reasons every day of the week why you're going to fail, and there's only usually one or two reasons why you're going to succeed, and the first one is you want to. You want to. That's it. So you won't give up. You just go out there and try again, try again, try again.
I believe passion and desire are keys to success. I also believe timing is, but timing has a lot. Like, you could time something. There have been times I've been very passionate, and the timing wasn't right, and I failed.
Right.
But the thing is, I got, like, with my comedy club.
Yeah.
And I did some other events, Stop the Violence, with Crump Battle, like Battle at a Dance. Basically, kids were battling each other.
Yeah.
Dancing. But I didn't have a crowd. I didn't have a following. I had to build a following first by probably finding a free venue and building a crowd, then doing it, you know, once every couple of months until I didn't know that until after the fact. At first, I just went, rented a big, large venue and tried to pay for thousands of dollars of marketing at the radio station, which was a waste of money. But I had to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
So, but you never know that.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. If I do an event now, I'm going straight cable TV. Most people watch TV. They haven't gotten away from television yet.
Right.
They're still watching TV, but they're not listening to the radio like they used to.
Right.
So, but you have to learn that.
Right. Right.
People
listen to
get in the car now, they listen to their cell phones. They're not listening to, you know, the radio or, you know, it's just falling away now. Radio stations are losing their relevancy. you know, you get that after work crowd and the morning crowd, and that's it. Other than that, you don't really get any radio listeners.
Right, right. Unless it's on in an office all day and nobody's really paying attention to it, it's background noise. Yeah. Or you're getting an age demographic that you're not going to end up doing business with. You know.
Well, see, they supposedly have all that when you go to the radio station. Radio stations are going to. I think they're going to fall off. The listenership's going down. They're going to have to lower their rate. I mean, I know radio stations. You give them $1,000, you can barely hear your commercials. I'm talking about in a city like Montgomery, Alabama, where you only got 300,000 people.
Yeah.
And they still can't hear your commercial.
Yeah, no, I understand. Radio, you got to be – radio is a hard business. Yeah, unless you have an establishment and you can drive traffic to that establishment. That's what radio's for. It's really hard if you have a business where you got to go to them. It's hard to get enough recognition.
And then social media is probably coming. Social media is free. It just doesn't make sense anymore to pay all these thousands of dollars to these
radio. Well, that's why they're pushing to get radio on cell phones now so that you can listen to your local radio stations on your cell phone because you're not going to carry a radio with you anymore. And once they get that legislation through, radio will have a rebound again. But radio is still more popular than television as far as listenership.
But let me ask you this, though. Like, if radio, even if they do that, radio has only a certain amount of time because they've already, like, you got Spotify, you got all these other things that have gotten head start. That by the time radio gets in, they're just a small fish. They're not going to get a large share of the market. Like they did, with, you know, in the 30s and 40s when all people had was radios.
Yeah, but you see, radio's competition in the 30s and 40s was the newspaper. The newspaper only cost a dime. The newspaper didn't cost $25, and that's what it cost to buy a good radio. When radio first came out, it was the equivalent of 2-3 weeks' salary for the average person to buy a radio, but you can get a newspaper for a nickel, you know, and most people could afford that. There's always been competition to everything. There always has been competition in everything. Hell, even vinyl records are coming back now. And we thought they were dead 25 years ago. So, you know, when cassette tapes took over. And then CDs pushed out cassette tapes.
Yeah, I don't even think digital is. I think digital, everything's digital now. It's not,
yeah.
I don't even think they're going to.
And now you don't even need CDs or anything because you can digitally download anything right to a little MP3 player that you can buy for $8 online, you know.
They're not even doing that no more. MP3s are going. Now everybody's streaming. They're not even downloading anymore.
Yeah.
They're just streaming, live streaming, whatever it is. You just pay a service. Like I pay $10 for Spotify.
Yeah.
And I get everything I ever wanted. For free.
Yeah.
Not free. Pay the
$10 one time only or per month?
Yeah, $10 a month, and I can listen to anything.
Right.
You name
well,
it, I can listen to
it. Well, that's why we cut back our dish cable package, our satellite package. We cut that way back because we realized one day most of what we prefer to watch are old shows that were off the air 20, 25 years ago. I can go to Hulu for $8 a month, and I can watch my wife likes Touched by an Angel and those old shows and there's stuff on Hulu that, you know, for $8 a month, why should I pay for these oldie channels on cable and pay $100 a month for a satellite dish? You know, it's crazy.
Exactly. And, I mean, we
so
just
we cut
signed
that
up
way
for
back.
Xfinity. She just signed up for Xfinity. It was, what was it? Her bill was $180, right?
Yeah.
Paid $180. Then she came back and now they want $130 for the next month. All we got is HBO.
Yeah.
That's it. We don't have nothing else but HBO, and we don't have all the no packages. She got one box. That's it. And the Internet.
Yeah.
And they charge it $130. Hey, I'm saying like Netflix, I'm like, look, you might as well just get rid of the box, get rid of just go basic cable, just to watch a few shows and go and get you a Roku.
Yeah.
And hook it into the TV and just dial Netflix. Because, you know, people stop. They're not even going to use Redbox no more. Redbox is probably in trouble now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's things are changing.
It's moving faster. Like, you know, it used to be you have a 20-year run. Now you don't have a 20-year run. You got a couple of years and, bam, something comes out and puts you out of business.
Yeah. Well, sir, I got to go run and do what I got to do.
I do too.
So, good talking to you, Alabama. And,
all right.
Like I say, I'm not going to wait for a federal program. If I find some young person that needs someone to mentor them, they got my attention. You know, as long as they keep
making
progress.
Yeah, that's always the way it should be.
What's next. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you can
do. All right.
Take care.
Okay.